Going to the store can be more annoying than flying on an airplane with a screaming baby that has diarrhea. You can save yourself the trouble and shop on Amazon. Get the best deals and support this podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Taking a sip ever from a warm glass of shut the hell up ever in his life. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. And it is special because we have a Survivor in studio guest here for you guys and your listening pleasure. Here he is, making his third appearance on Rob Has a Podcast, not even counting my birthday. Here he is. He is the winner of Survivor Exile Island and the inventor of the Tundra hat. It is Otis Bush Cow's Kiss.
Thank you so much for having
me. Is
it
a singular cow or is it a plural cow?
There's two cows doing it.
Okay, Bush Cow's Kiss.
Boom.
Yes.
You knocked it out.
I knocked it out. There we go.
Third time's the charm.
Yes, that's right. So, if you give me a trick to remember something, then there's a chance I might actually remember it. So there we go.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank you very much. Otis, pleasure to see you here for the first time ever live in person.
Yeah, every season gets better in terms of our interaction on the show. Now I'm here in person.
Now the bar is raised.
Yeah, now there's a lot of pressure.
And the bar is high also. We had John Fincher was here last night. Stephen Fishbeck said it's Handsome Guy Week on Rob as a Podcast.
Well, that's a heck of a compliment.
Yes, and Nuzzy, who I talked to on the Celebrity Apprentice podcast on Monday night, is smiling today.
I don't know Nuzzy, but I'm guessing he's a handsome fellow.
Yeah. Well, if he was here during Handsome Guy Week,
he must have been.
We have got one hell of a show here. I don't know how we're gonna fit it all in because Otis is here. We have so much to talk to him about. We've got everything that went on in Survivor Caramone. We had the swap last night, and we have all that stuff to get to. I've got a ton of questions from you guys. I've got voicemails. We've got a game in store on this podcast. We have a special mystery guest calling in later. So we've got a lot to get to. So let's not waste any time. Last night, of course, we had the Survivor Know-It-Alls. John Fincher was here. It was there were actually three people who know nothing about winning Survivor live talking about last night's episode.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. And then this morning, I spoke with Matt Bischoff, did an exit interview with him. Matt was a very nice guy.
Yeah, he seemed like a good guy. He seemed like he was well-liked, and I think that's probably why he ended up getting voted out.
Did you admire his beard? You have a beard now.
Yeah, that beard is beyond anything I'd ever imagined growing on my face, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's put a lot of time and work into that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if he started growing that beard on the day he got his first tattoo.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possible.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. So, yeah, come full circle.
Yeah, I have a big question about this episode, and this has been killing me.
All right,
let's jump
right into it.
How did Malcolm get all that egg on his face?
Well, this is what I had said. I had tweeted this during the episode, because if I was on Survivor and they said, all right, everybody, take one of these eggs filled with paint. And what are you going to do? Like, I would hold the egg out as far away from me as possible and, like, find some way to crack it, like, if my arms were 10 feet long. But, you know, you have guys like Ozzy, who a couple seasons ago, like, took the egg filled with... And how do they fill an egg with paint?
How do they do that?
How do they do that? Easter's around the corner, if anybody would like to do that.
Yeah, maybe we can get Survivor to start selling those eggs for Easter.
Do they get, like, the Cadbury cream egg people in on this? Like, how do they get that?
that'd be interesting if they started filling it with actual edible paint. That would really change it up.
That's the reward of the challenge? A dessert-filled egg? But I get how you put the cream inside the chocolate egg much more than how you put the paint inside a real egg.
I kind of feel like on this one that the mystery serves us better unanswered than if we figured it out. It would take away some of the allure, some of the mystique.
So you had Ozzy and Coach on like Survivor South Pacific, and Ozzy like took the egg and like smashed it on his shirt,
it on his like forehead,
and I don't know. Apparently Malcolm like took the egg and like smashed it into his forehead.
Did he go forehead straight away? Because that was the thing, is as it was happening, I was wondering who was going to be the one to smash it on their face, but I didn't see anyone do that.
Yeah, it seemed like Malcolm. I could see Eric Reichenbach doing that also. What would you do with the egg?
I'd probably smash it on my shirt, you know?
Yeah, oh, okay.
I feel like that'd be a nice, safe place for it.
Yeah. I think I'd want to at least like look at what the paint was.
Well, here's the thing, is that we smell so bad out there that the paint might actually give us something else to smell rather than our own funk.
Oh,
know?
Okay.
So, I mean, there's value there. I just don't see how there's value of it coagulating on my forehead.
Yeah, so Malcolm, he is a second-time player, but seemed like a rookie mistake.
A rookie move.
He's gonna be. He's probably still picking paint out of his eyebrows.
Yeah, well, he's playing the game well, so we'll kind of give him a pass on that.
Yeah, and you were a big Malcolm fan last season. Has your Malcolm fandom extended?
My
into
Malcolm
the next...
crush is massive.
He's grown.
He's the prohibitive favorite in my book, and that's a big statement in a game where we really haven't seen much strategy yet in the edit.
Yeah, I will say I think he's probably the most complete player in the field.
Yeah, well, definitely that, but also he's coming off of a season. He had a week home, and then he went back out. And you and I both know how much focus you have to have out there. Mm-hmm. And so he's already come in with so much focus. He's able to really
see. I feel like that's almost a detriment. That like had he had like a year to like sort of get right. But the question is, did he ever get right in between seasons, and can he go the distance here?
So the question is will his hands fail him again? And that was not a pun.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Brandon.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk about Malcolm in a little bit, but let's not bury the lead too much. Let's talk about what happened last night with Matt, and I want to get your take on that, because we talked about it a lot during Survivor Know-It-Alls, what happened and how it all went wrong. And, you know, I was a little unclear about how it all went down. I actually watched the episode a second time. I feel like I have a little more clarity than I had last night. I actually reversed my opinion after thinking about it a little bit. And on my rewatch of the episode, what I found that I thought was interesting was the two people who don't seem to like each other, Philip and Corinne, they were the two people that were against, to me, it seemed like, the idea of getting rid of Matt. So ironically, the two people who don't get along is so good, they were on the same page. But it was that Dawn and Cochran who were the ones that seemed more. I think Dawn even said in the episode, Matt's got to be the one to go. Cochran said, you know, thinking about it, this is a pair. I think we need to break up this pair here. I think Dawn and Cochran really had a very strong night.
Yeah, no, I think that given that we don't know much about the way that the favorite alliance has broken down so far, because we never saw that before this switch, you have to assume that the four favorites are going to vote in a block.
Mm-hmm.
And so whoever goes home, it really doesn't matter if they lose out the next three challenges, because they know they're going to merge back into their majority alliance. So that's not a huge concern. What they have to be concerned about is when they merge back, are they going to create a strong minority, or are they going to create a fractured minority? And that vote allowed them to fracture what was the strongest minority alliance in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a really smart move. With regards to Philip and Corinne, I think Corinne's playing a smart game in that this vote helped her as well, because once it broke up that minority alliance of Matt and
Michael,
thank you.
Or Rob. You could just refer to him as the gay.
As the gay, which apparently that's okay now.
That's okay.
All right. So once Corinne, once that vote happened, now Corinne can kind of take the gay all to herself and really use him as a secondary alliance mate.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was a smart move by the favorites. I thought that it really doesn't matter if they lose the next two immunity challenges, which they likely will,
mm-hmm.
they're still in a good position.
Do you think the favorites had a contingency plan, sort of like, all right, everybody, here's the plan. If we get split up, whoever's on a tribe, we're just vote out the fans. Like, did they have, like, I get it, that's the plan. Did they have that as a meeting? Was that sort of
I don't know. I mean, if it happened on our season, we wouldn't have had that meeting. And I don't know on your season if you could see that meeting happening. But I think that the assumption would just, you know, would be, okay, let's just keep voting out the fans. Danger is that let's just assume that Philip's tribe continues to lose. And so they vote out all three of the fans, and they're left with Philip, Corinne, Dawn, and Cochran. on the other side, the tribe with the very good looking people, now they all have a chance to connect more. And that's dangerous, right? You never know what sub-alliances are made and where things happen.
Well, the most recent season that this is reminiscent of is Survivor One World, where we had a swap in a similar spot where you split up the men and the women, and you had basically the tribe with Colton and Tarzan, and that was sort of like a really crazy tribe. But then, at least in the mind of like Troyzan and Jonas, they had thought, okay, we formed a new coalition here of, you know, Jay and Troyzan and Kim and Chelsea and whoever else, Kat, whoever else was there on that side of things. Even though it really was, you know, and maybe it was undetermined, maybe, you know, Kim and her crew there decided, you know what, I think I'm going to stick with the girls. But that was sort of the same thing where one group thought it was, hey, we've got this new thing going. And really it was, no, the old thing never stopped.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's on our season that we had on Survivor Exile Island, you know, we were broken up into four groups of four. So that we started out on our tribe of the young men. We all said, hey, if we ever make it back together, let's stick together. And I remember being at a fire and that being said, and I was thinking to myself, I do not want to commit to that because I have no idea where this game's going to go.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be stuck with you guys who I can't make a fire with and we can't meditate together. So this isn't working.
Yeah, that's always like an awkward thing where you can't be like, actually, yeah. I would actually, could I present a different plan? Yeah, it's tough to do.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to object to it, but I kind of had my fingers crossed.
That happens a lot on Survivor. There's a lot of times where you just get roped into things.
Well, we saw what happened when you don't accept it last season, right?
Yeah.
With Penner.
Yeah.
Where he told Lisa, well, let me think on it.
Yeah, that he said to Lisa, you know, can I get back to you? I want to think about it for just a bit.
If only Penner were more famous, you'd have a career doing that.
Yeah.
Let's hope he writes something that goes big.
Are you kidding me? He's an author.
Yeah, well, let's hope it blows up. Let's hope he writes the next Shades of Grey.
The next specialist colon the Costa Rica job.
Top 300 in
what does that mean? That book is flying up the charts.
Yeah, have you had a chance to read it?
I have not. Have you?
I actually did read some of it. I was at Malcolm's house. Little side story. I went to Malcolm's. It was me, Malcolm, and Corinne went to watch an episode. It was about 3 weeks ago. And he had a copy of The Specialist on the table. So as you do, I picked it up and began reading it. I was fascinated. And I didn't get more than like a couple paragraphs into the book when Malcolm announced that he had set his DVR up incorrectly and there was no Survivor to watch. So I promptly put the book down and left.
Is that really? That's really what happened?
Yeah, I drove all the way down to Manhattan Beach to watch Survivor, and you know there was no Survivor, so I'd left.
You didn't like have like I mean you had so many options there. I mean you didn't think outside the box. You could have had Corinne do a reading from The Specialist.
Well, we've talked about doing a bowling / reading experience, which might. Or might not happen. But if it does, you're invited.
Okay, obviously. Well, thank you. Thank you yes. very much. I appreciate that. So how did we get to... Oh, okay. So this whole thing. You know, on my season, we did have a swap. And we actually did have sort of a meeting ahead of time. And so...
Anticipating a swap.
Yeah, let me set this up. Because I know... Okay. Who even remembers Survivor of the Amazon? So
besides Stephen Fishback.
Stephen Fishback is a mind like a steel trap. But if you don't remember the show that was on 10 years ago... You can, number one, you could buy the DVD on Amazon.
Through your link.
Yeah, go to robinswebsite.com/S6DVD. But let me set up the scene here. So Dave Johnson and Jenna Maraska, they did like a draft of who everybody. And then so we knew there was going to be a swap. It was like day 13. They were gone overnight. It's like, all right, obviously they were going to come back with new teams. And Dave Johnson came back. It was like, hey, sports fans, gather around, guys. We got some new tribes going on. So first off, I'm like, just tell us what the new teams are. I don't need the preamble. And he's like, Rob, Alex, Matt, you're going to the other team. Like, all right, I got my bag. I'm like, hey, right. And then they're like, I forget who it was like. I was like, but hey, the plan is, guy, we're all sticking together. This is the plan. See you guys at the merge. Like, okay, sure, yeah. And I'm like, whatever. Smell you later, buddy. Like,
and then what happened when you got to the merge?
then they, those three guys that we were with, they all thought we were still with the plan, but we were already off to, you know, we're in this new alliance with the women now.
With women.
That's it. That's it.
Women forget changed the this. Game drastically for men.
Well, it was, again, it was a men versus women season. It worked out for us. Didn't work out so much for Troy Zane. You know, we didn't have a Kim Spradlin on our in our midst, but that's what happened. But we did have a meeting. So I kind of feel like these guys are so experienced. There had to have been some conversation.
The only thing is that it happened so early in the game that I would be surprised if they had that much foresight as to have a meeting and say, hey, in case we get switched, we stay together. But it seems like, you know, as a favorite or as a Survivor alum, you kind of get to know each other outside of the game, and so it's easier to forge stronger relationships. And I think that probably will keep them good until the merge.
Let me talk about something else that really we talked about a little bit on Survivor Know It Alls last night, and I'd like to get your take on it. So the idea of Philip, when the new people come over to the tribe, and each of them has interactions with Philip, and Philip talks to, first we see him with Julia and talks about how, you know, there could be a, you know, we could have a place for you with us, and you could have a role with us. And then with Matt and with Mike, telling them about how, you know, we have position, we don't have positions open on Stealth or Us, but you could be on the waiting list, and maybe that someday you can get on. And Steven had said last night, this is great gameplay, because you want to bring in everybody under the tent and form these relationships with people. And I had said, you know, I don't know. And then Corinne had said that Philip is playing the game too fast. What, we don't need Julia to flip. I'd like to know about your take on this, and then I want to give you my thoughts after watching the episode a second time.
All right, so here are my thoughts on it. One, I think that Philip is doing unnecessary things.
Mm-hmm.
The most unnecessary thing was saying, if you do what I have my kind of representative tell you to do, then you will be invited into Stealth R Us and you will join the six other members. Mm-hmm. So that should have been a red flag right there. Six other members. So who isn't in Stealth R Us? Let me find out who that is and let them know that they're on the low end of the totem pole.
Philip also said something else that I noticed in the second watch, that when he's talking with Matt and Mike, he says, you know, Stealth R Us, there's two of us. And so who is the co owner of Stealth R Us? Is it Andrea? Is it Cochran? Is it, I mean, who, he says that there's one, me, it's me and one other person, and that's in case the plans have been laid out, because we're in case,
right,
one,
right,
of
who
us
is
gets
he referring
off
to in,
yeah,
that
who's
case
the other person?
I don't know who he was referring to, and that makes no sense at all. It's Survivor. It's not like if you win, I also win. No. I don't know who he's referring to, but there's six in Stealth R Us total, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that include him or does that not include him?
I think that includes him.
So who isn't in Stealth R Us from the favorites?
I think Brenda and Eric. I think those,
okay,
are the
so
two
Brenda
that actually
are
not. They're in Stealth R Us allegedly, but they're fake. They have,
right,
so a fake membership to Stealth R Us.
Assuming Matt didn't get voted out, but he did. Once you get to the merge, you find those two.
Yeah.
And then that's why I think that's terrible gameplay on Philip's part. But I do think that Fishy's right in a sense that you want to keep everybody under one tent. I think you don't necessarily want to keep the whole game under one tent. You want to keep your majority under that tent. And what he's doing is making Corinne uncomfortable. It's making Dawn uncomfortable. And this is what I think about the way people vote on Survivor more than anything else, is I think they vote very unconsciously. They vote based on emotions. People vote because they want to feel safe. And what Philip's doing isn't making Dawn feel safe. It's not making Corinne feel safe. And eventually it's going to bite him in the butt.
Mm-hmm. And Stealth R Us. Now, I had actually heard this, that Philip is saying...
It's actually Stealth R Us.
I don't have to do the joke anymore. Yeah. Did I do this? Did we do this joke last time?
No.
I waited all day to talk about Stealth R Us.
Oh, really? I'm sorry I spoiled it. Yeah. Take that back. Yeah, Rewind it.
Look at my cards here.
Ugh.
Stealth R Us.
Damn it.
Stealth R Us. All right. We'll name the episode. We'll name the episode that.
I feel like a spoiler now.
Yeah. No.
I feel like I should be on Survivor Sucks.
I was asking all these questions just to set it up.
And
is Philip pronouncing his alliance wrong? Is it actually
Stealth
R Us?
Yeah, it's obviously pronounced incorrectly.
All right, so let me go back to what I was saying.
But
so,
you don't correct Philip. You just let him keep
You just let Philip go.
As Matt, you know, demonstrated, that works well.
Would say, yes, absolutely. Now, here's my thing about this. And now, last night, Steven was saying how this is really good gameplay. And I agree, on paper, this is good gameplay. You want to get everybody into the fold. But basically, we had on Big Brother Canada, they had a double backdoor. And this was kind of a double backdoor vote out on Survivor in that, okay, Julia thinks the plan is her two buddies are voting with her and they're voting out Dawn. And that's what she thinks is going on. And, you know, Phil, she's, you know, Philip is, you know, talking to her. And I guess for Julia's perspective, Philip doesn't screw her over because Philip, you know, Philip had just had a conversation with her. So I guess that's okay. But for Matt and for Mike, when Philip comes to and tells them that the plan is going to be write down Julia. So now they're like, okay, good. We're in good with Philip. Philip's telling us what to do. Now, it turns out that Philip misled those guys, even though it's, you know, Philip, it seemed like did want to vote out Julia. Philip never comes and corrects, you know, what's going on.
Right.
So now Mike stays in the game and he's like, you know, this Philip's a real piece of work.
Yeah.
He told me to vote out. We're going to vote out Julia.
It's an unnecessary deceptive move.
And it's like, what was he testing me to see if I would do what he wants? And then, so maybe Philip can do damage control and say, look, you passed with flying colors. You're honorary Stealth R Us now because you did what I told you to do. But it seems to me like now Mike is like, well, you know what? Screw Philip. You know, he thinks he's telling me what to do. And now there could be some animosity towards Philip from Mike when four favorites voted Mike out. And he might feel that Philip is the person that he's the most annoyed with.
Yeah, well, I think that this reminds me a bit of the season with the WWF wrestler. What was his name? Do you remember him? He voted out Mikey B real early in the game.
Joel.
Is Joel
a wrestler?
Was he a wrestler? I thought he was a wrestler. Was he a firefighter?
I don't think he's a wrestler.
Well, he looked like a wrestler.
He looked like a wrestler.
He should have been a wrestler.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is reminiscent of Joel's gameplay in that it's doing too much too soon. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that you don't want to stick your neck out like that unless you need to. And you just pointed out another reason why Philip doesn't need to do all this. There's no value for this. They have the four. They don't need to sugarcoat it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And all Philip is doing is just setting traps for himself later on in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if Philip went home soon.
Yeah. Ideally, and I know this is how, you know, in your game that you think similarly as how I feel about this, but you don't really want to be the guy out there taking the bullets.
No.
And Philip is going to take a lot of bullets.
Yeah. Right now he's positioning himself to be the third, the drag me to the final, mm-hmm. right? The if it's three or two, you know, I'm the perfect goat. That's how he's positioning himself, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's doing that consciously.
And it's a good way to have some security in the game, too.
Except that it's not, because how many goats actually get taken all the way to the end
mm-hmm.
before people are just like, you know what, I can't take this anymore. Did you guys have a goat on your season?
Yes, we did have somebody who was a good goat to go to the
end. And how'd they do?
They lost 6-1.
And they made it to the end, though.
They did get to the end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we our goat was Courtney, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't hack it. So.
Yeah. They can't be, in most instances, they can't be so disagreeable that they somehow manage to stick around for 39 days. It's
yeah.
like has to be.
I mean, Philip did it the first time with Boss and Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to stick around. But I think that was a lot to yeah. do with Boss and Rob's fourth time playing and the lack of any substantial competition in the game.
And I don't want to take too much away from Philip, because I think Philip is doing a lot of things right.
He's
also
doing a lot of interesting things in the game. He's definitely playing the game this time.
And I think what's working in Philip's advantage, you know, we were a little hard on Philip. Let's get the other side of the coin here.
Yeah.
In a game where everybody else, at least on the favorite side, is really, like, to use a poker term, slow playing this game. All the other favorites, with the exception of Brandon Hance and Francesca, said, hey, I'm just going to lay back. I'm just going to step back and let this game come to me. And Philip is the only guy who's out there saying, I'm going to take charge. I'm going to make an alliance. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell the fans this. I'm going to tell the fans that. All the other favorites are just sort of like, you know, sitting back twiddling their thumbs for most of this game.
But Rob, I disagree, because the problem is with this season is that we've seen a lot of Philip and we've seen a lot of Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really seen a lot of their strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of their character.
Yes.
And so we haven't seen any of the strategy happening with anybody else. And so my guess would be there's a lot of positioning happening that we just haven't been able to see.
Well, that's fair.
And so I don't think that people are playing it as slow as it would appear they are.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, he's obviously the most vocal. I mean, like, you see Corinne in this last episode. We finally get to see the Corinne
yes.
that we all know and love.
Right.
Right? But previous to that, it was as if she was just a quiet kind of under the radar player, which she clearly isn't, doesn't know how to be that, would never want to be. No, she maybe knows how to be that, but would never want to be that.
Yeah. No, Corinne was really, really good last night. And yeah, you say, I'm sure it's not like Corinne woke up on day 13. Was like, I'm going to be funny today.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I thought of a lot of jokes and now I'm going to be funny.
Which that's the danger in. Sorry to get into editing, but the danger in featuring two people, Brandon and Philip, so heavily in the opening episodes is that for the fans of Survivor who love to see strategy, is we don't get to see much of it, so there's not a lot for us to cling on to now.
Yeah.
And we won't know. Fortunately, because of the way that the tribes got divided, it looks like we're going to get all the favorites back. And obviously, that's a lot of just guessing. But and then we'll get to see where the fractures really do lie in that tribe.
You brought up Joel from Survivor Fans versus Favorites earlier. Let's talk about the fans in this current Fans versus Favorites
yeah.
and how, you know, a lot of people don't watch a lot of Survivor before they go out and play the game. But I really do feel like very strongly that, you know, those who don't learn from Survivor history are doomed to repeat it. And these fans in particular are absolutely doomed to repeat the same. This is going to unfolding exactly like the original Survivor Fans versus Favorites. And all of the fans, they've all turned on one another, which was the exact, we said all along in the preseason, this is exactly what they cannot do if they're going to win, because the favorites will tear them to shreds. And this is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're seeing it with Ronald and Sandra Bullock.
What'd you call him? Ronald?
Reynolds. I call him Ronald. He's so good looking that I feel like he should be French.
You've given him a French name?
Yes. It's Ronald.
Ronald?
And Sandra Bullock. Sherry.
Yes.
You see them completely.
Sherry's like, I'll vote out Reynolds.
Yeah, and he's the same way back.
He's like, hey, this is great. We're going to vote out Sherry.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not a plan that will work.
There's no longevity in this plan.
No.
I think, you know, Reynolds is playing a really not very smart game, in my opinion.
No.
It's as hard as it is to be on the outskirts of an alliance, and I actually don't know how hard that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it's not easy for your ego to take. You know, it's a bummer. You realize you don't have the votes. You have to eat crow, and you have to make friends with the majority alliance, because there are fissures, there are fractions, they happen. Like what Ceri did on our season,
mm-hmm.
where she wasn't in that majority alliance, but she just kept close. Right? If Ronald could have done that with Sherry.
It's his name now.
That's what I call him.
Yes.
Sorry.
That is Ronald the Adas of Reynolds?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he just hasn't corrected anybody yet. I don't think he knows. But
okay.
Anyways, but if Ronald had made friends with Sherry, they'd be in such a strong position. And then they could do exactly what they're doing and not mean it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be impressive.
Now, does Ronald feel like, hey, if I can just make it to the merge? And he's looking across the aisle at, you know, who are the people that he's going to be competing with in individual immunity, and saying, like, I got to feel pretty good about my chances here for individual immunity. Does he feel like if he could just make it to the merge, he can go on a tear?
I mean, I think you know this. If you're playing Survivor,
plus with an idol in his pocket,
that's true. But if you're playing Survivor and you're depending on immunity, immunity necklaces to win, you're not playing Survivor.
You that's know? True.
That's not Survivor. That's just like you're a decathlete.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a decathlete, but it doesn't work so well on Survivor. I just think that he, and I can relate to him. I can totally relate to feeling shunned because you're not in the majority alliance, and then. and then getting himself in trouble. But they keep using this analogy of a used car salesman for him, which has come up a number of times. We haven't really gotten that in the edit so far. He hasn't come off as smarmy to me. Has he?
Would you buy a used car from Renault?
No.
Oh.
No. But from Renault.
From Renault? From Renault, the used car salesman? He doesn't seem like he's a liar.
No.
If anything, he seems like he's like wearing his heart on his sleeve. Like
that Shamar incident where he decided it would be a good idea to like have a team talk after a loss. He just seems like he's a pretty straight up guy. But apparently that isn't the case, at least in Sherry's mind. And anytime, you never want anybody in a merge situation like what just happened. You don't want somebody telling everybody else about you in such a negative light to begin with. Mm-hmm. That's the first impression that all the favorites now have of him, which is not a good one. And then by the time he gets to the merge, if he gets to the merge, he's the number one target.
Yeah.
Which is just bad gameplay.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Renault. It's not a sustainable strategy.
Exactly. And to his defense, it's hard. It's hard when you're not in the majority alliance, mm-hmm. and things were so tense on that tribe with Shamar and all the fighting that was happening.
Where did things spin out of control for the, like, I know it's, you know, the body is still moving, but let's do the autopsy here. Let's dig in on this fans tribe and figure out where did they go wrong? Okay. They couldn't win a challenge, although they won the first one, and then they lost by a hair a couple times,
right.
It seemed like. So, but...
The place they went wrong was, in my opinion, was you have your two top athletes
mm-hmm.
choosing to create a minority alliance and then shunning everybody else out, right?
So you blame Renault and Eddie, or you blame Sherry? Because I kind of feel like the whole... Hey, let's keep Shamar. He's obviously the problem. He's the one fighting with everybody. Let's keep him around. He's going to be our fill-up. We're going to take him to the end, and then he won't get any votes in the end, and I'll win on day four.
Okay, that's the thing. Is Shamar? How can you know that he's going to become such a liability out there?
Well, he did tell somebody to shut up on the first day.
That's true. That's very true. I think Eddie and Renault should have known better than to create a minority alliance of four. Like, great, you're in a tribe
of
10.
Let me just say, in fairness, and from doing the exit interview, they thought they had
Matt.
But even then, it's still 5-5.
Right.
And who wants to go for a tie? Nobody in the history of Survivor.
Exactly.
People... You know, ties make people squeamish. Ties make people flip.
Exactly.
So if the choice is for Matt, hey, I'm going to go with these guys, with these four people,
right.
And make a 5-5 tie, and then eventually possibly pick rocks.
So I think if this tribe wasn't going to self-destruct, it would have been Matt convincing Mike to go with that foursome.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they probably wouldn't have felt safe because they were coupled up. And so they're like, well, we're on the bottom two of this,
mm-hmm.
which is why they didn't go that direction.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like had they cut Shamar earlier, I feel like maybe there could have been some hope for unity.
For reconciliation.
For reconciliation.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair,
is there a Survivor lesson to be learned here for future Survivor players? If somebody who's going on Survivor 27 is listening to this podcast, should they... If there's a problem person early on, should they be thinking, hey, this is my Philip? Or should they be thinking, hey, this guy is an anchor. He could totally bring us down.
I think it's tough because my gut is to say go with numbers. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what the number looks like. If it's a number, go with it. But at the same time, sorry, I need to take off for a second.
I don't know if you're going to be able to hear that. Some motorcycles, the Hell's Angels are driving by.
So my gut is to go with numbers, but at the same time, I also believe people both vote based, you know, mostly on emotion. And I think that somebody like Shamar is going to make you feel really unsafe and is going to destroy team unity.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, I would have said it would have been better for them to get rid of Shamar. But it's so hard to tell. You know, I don't think Survivor should be casting somebody like Shamar, and that's not a knock on Shamar. That's just like he didn't belong out there. He couldn't cope with what was happening, and created an injury to get himself out of the game.
I just think it's an overlooked part of the game, and maybe the younger me wouldn't feel this way. But after, you know, this is the 26th season of the show, I feel like it gets lost somewhere along the way. Of in the first part of the game, you need to build up a team of. These are the people I want to go all the way with this. This is a cohesive unit, that
right.
this group of six people or whatever is greater than the sum of its parts.
So you're kind of like the quote in Kurt Russell's quote in The Miracle. Was that what it's called? Miracle on Ice or something? When he said, I'm not looking for the best players, I'm looking for the right players.
And maybe that's right. And I don't think in any equation, Shamar was one of the best or right players to move forward with. Even if, hey, I'm going to beat him at the end. But now chances are it's going to be, you know, how many fans are going to be left on, you know, day 32?
And that's the problem is that it's really hard to create the best alliance because – Typically, you want to take the first alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to say no to this one. And then if you're looking for the best alliance and you accept the first alliance, now you've put yourself in a really tough situation because now you have to break that first alliance and you've set yourself up to be untrustworthy.
Yeah, and it's boring to watch, but the people who've done it over the last couple of years, I mean, Boston Rob in Survivor Redemption Island, you have to look at that, what he was able to do. And give him credit for keeping the original Philip around to be his Philip, even though people got. But he was such a good leader
right. That
he was able to, like, you know, act like to Philip, hey, Philip, you know, it's me and you. And then act like to the other people, hey, Philip's crazy. So they were able to, you know, keep their numbers strong.
Right.
Coach did, you know, he followed the same exact playbook on his season in when he went back on South Pacific, and you know,
with
and
Cochran.
And then he was able, actually, when he needed Cochran, he was able to bring Cochran into the fold, and then when he didn't need Cochran, he was able to dispose of Cochran.
The power of Greek mythology.
Yes, with the power of Greek mythology, and Kim also did a good job with this also.
Yeah, no, I
realizing that her original women's group of
but I think
five,
if you look at all those, they weren't the best alliances; they were the first alliances.
In those cases, I mean, Boston Rob in Redemption Island, he did make a little bit of a substitution where he took Matt Elrod out and brought Philip
right in.
Right,
right. Well, so what I would say is typically, I think as a rule, and all rules obviously are broken, is I would say stick with your first alliance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a cancer like Shamar, then you're going to have to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't adjust. And Sherry thought that she could manage Shamar like she does the rest of her staff. At fast food restaurants, but she couldn't, and it's Sherry's actually in a pretty good position though.
Yeah, she's in a good position to go for a bit here. I mean, she's in a good position, I think, to outlast Reynold and Eddie.
Well, I think she's probably the least likely to get voted out come emerge. Her and Julia are going to be the smallest targets,
right? Because they're not going to be threats. But the question is going to be. If we get to the merge, let's just play it out. Let's say they vote out, Ronald next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's say Ronald goes,
and then Eddie, and then let's just get rid of Eddie too.
Okay, Ronald, Eddie, and Julia go, and we get to the merge.
Well, let's leave Julia in the mix. Let's get rid of Ronald and Eddie.
Okay.
Those guys aren't going to lose any challenges.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So I think you got to get rid of Mike and Julia go, and that's it. And then you get your merge.
Okay.
Right. So now you're left with Mike.
I think the show will, if the orange team loses two straight, I mean, I think they'll merge them because they're saying it's going to be boring.
Yeah, well, it would be 10. It would be a merge at 10, right?
No, 12.
Oh, okay.
So there are currently 13 people left in the game. There's seven on the orange tribe
and six
over here. So I think that they'll let it go one more week. And if orange or the Philip team loses one more time, I think then they'll
merge. No, I think there'll be two more knockouts.
But you think they'll merge at 11?
Yeah, that's where I think the merge
really
happens. Yeah, that's my guess.
I think it'll be too boring if the orange team now just keeps losing.
Yeah,
here.
But I don't think I think they're bound by whatever they had drawn up previous to the season.
You buy that?
Yeah, I do. I buy that. I think those big moves have to be pre-approved.
See, I don't know. I've heard both sides of the I honestly don't know. But
I think they can manipulate the game in other ways, but they can't manipulate in such a large way.
I just think you're going to have such a potentially boring episode of the show if you have, let's say Mike goes out next week. You could have two potentially boring episodes of the show.
Right.
Where you have if Orange loses next week, I'm sorry, Purple loses next week, the Philip team, and then it's like, okay, now it's going to be, are we going to vote out Mike or are we going to vote out
Julia.
Laura or Julia? Mm-hmm. And then you could have an episode after that where it's the four favorites and Julia. And then they go to tribal council.
And it's obviously Julia.
Yeah.
Well, I think, so here's what I think. Okay, I still believe that, but I think that once you get to the merge, either way, we know we're going to have a favorite majority.
Yeah, we got to get to the, for the hope is we get to the merge, and then we could see, do the favorites start to turn on each other?
When do they start to turn?
And when do they start? That's right. Interesting.
And so that's what I think. That's when I think Sherry has a chance, because she is playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she can get to the point where she's the last fan left, and she says, okay, look, I'm obviously the next to go, but you three are at the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't the four of us get together and make a move?
Well, I think the interesting people here are the Brenda and Eric Reichenbach. You know, they're not in Stealth R Us. They know they're on the outs. Can they get something going? I mean, if you're Brenda and Eric, I mean, we know Brenda knows. I don't know if Eric knows how to play the game. I know Brenda knows how to play the game. You know, you're in a group of seven now. Could Brenda and Eric grab Ranald and Eddie and say, hey, how about this? This is a foursome.
Right.
You know, let's, why don't we vote out, you know, hey, how about we vote out Andrea? Take out Malcolm. I just don't know how tight the eight favorites are as a group. But if you're Brenda or Eric, somebody who's not in the core six, and know you're not in the core six, are you thinking outside the box?
I don't think Eric is, but I think Brenda should be.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting. I mean, it'd be really interesting if they are thinking outside the box and they never have to vote someone out until the merge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what would be amazing. If Brenda was able to create an alliance with Ranald and Eddie,
mm-hmm.
okay, but they don't have to reveal that in a vote.
Okay.
So nobody, none of the other favorites know, and then you get to emerge. And let's just assume if this were the case that Mike and Julie would be out now.
Okay. Right? Well, for the sake of this exercise, let's merge them at 12. Let's take Mike off the board.
Okay, we'll take Mike off the board. Mike and Julie is still in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have one more, and let's say, so they've got this foursome, then they don't even necessarily need to pull Julie in, but hopefully Brenda would be, what they'll do is they'll want to split the vote. The favorites mm-hmm. will want to split the vote to make sure the immunity idol doesn't get played. And if Brenda's privy to that information, knowing there's a split vote, their four would be strong enough to take out.
Yeah, you still have the idol. You still have the idol there. So let's just hypothetically, if we played this out, I don't think this is any chance of happening, but it's interesting to talk about. So Ranald, Eddie, Brenda, Eric.
And let's say they get Julia. They bring Julia.
And somehow Julia or Mike, one of them is left over from over there. So that's five. But there's still seven on the other side, but there's only six in Stealth R Us. So is Sherry? Sherry's
still there too.
Oh, so now that's the question. Can Ranald and Eddie pull in Sherry?
No, they can't.
These stupid.
You Frenchmen.
Had at any point in this game, you know, Ranald gone to Sherry and said, you know what, Sherry, this whole thing got, you know, my bad.
Yeah,
you know,
we have to work together. Can we agree to disagree? But let's play Survivor and use each other's strengths.
Like really, they're like the Jack and Locke of the fans. And if they could just say to each other, you know, I wish you had believed me.
It's Kobe and Shaq out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or either way, if Sherry comes to Reynolds, say, look, Reynolds, look, hey, look, you're not my favorite guy in the world, but if there's any way we're going to get past this.
It's more than likely that Sherry would be able to mastermind that before Ranald would.
Mm-hmm. Now, for Eric and Brenda, at the point where, let's say hypothetically, the fans rally here and they come to their senses, which again, is like, you know, did
That's
a miracle
big what
happen?
If. Right.
But let's say hypothetically, we end up in a scenario where these four fans still exist. Ranald, Eddie, Sherry, and Julia. Is it still a good idea for Brenda and for Eric to be with them? Because now it's sort of like, wait, hold on. If this is my alliance and we're in an alliance with six and there's four fans here, are we getting voted out five and six here? Or did we only improve our position with Stealth R Us by two slots?
No, because if this were to actually happen, Brenda would know that Sherry and Ranald are at best agreeing to something that they don't necessarily want to be in.
Yeah.
So she would know that at least Sherry or Ranald would be.
They could say, like, hey, look, Sherry, look, no matter what, we're getting rid of Ranald first.
Right, exactly. And then we haven't really heard much from Julia. We know she.
But still, the best we could do is a six versus six.
Right. But we have the hidden immunity idol on the favorite side. I mean, on the fan side.
It would be very interesting to see all this happen. It's a crazy hypothetical, but
it is. I'm very curious to see because we got on the next episode of or next time on.
Yeah.
We see that Malcolm celebrates a little bit about
his again,
position.
Well, again, these previews that they really...
They are so deceiving. Yeah.
Like, they really... The preview for last week, it's like...
You were sure that it was either Philip or Corinne.
Yeah, it was like, Corinne wants Philip. Philip wants Corinne out. What's going to happen?
Matt goes home instead.
Yeah. Yeah. And Corinne, like, was just, like, annoyed with Philip in a confession. Like, she was no plotting or anything. And Philip...
Yeah, well, that's interesting that Corinne is like, Philip would never flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and once Corinne said, Philip is never going to flip, I said, oh, rule of Survivor. And kudos to the editors, at least, for that so many times we say, okay, if somebody said something's never going to happen, we know it is going to happen. So
I'll eat rocks if I get voted out first again.
So who knows? But let's see. So many different things to still cover. Malcolm, your boy Malcolm, he almost got caught with the hidden immunity idol again for the second season in a row. Andrea says, I had a dream you had the hidden immunity idol. What's that about?
To be fair,
yeah,
I had a dream on my season of Survivor.
I had a couple dreams on my season
I had
of
a dream that I was getting attacked by a snake.
Yeah.
So in my dream, I kicked my leg. But in real life, I was sleeping right next to Shane, and I kicked Shane.
Oh, boy.
So I woke up like, oh, shit, I just kicked the snake slash Shane. And then that day, later on that day, Ceri told me that Shane wanted me out of the game. And so I was like, oh, well, then that makes a lot of sense. I'm going with my dream.
Shambo had a famous dream about that she had to vote out Dave Ball. Yeah.
Yeah, and you had a dream. Let's hear about your dream.
Oh, well, that's for another podcast.
Did it involve peanut butter?
No. Were you on the... What is it called? The medication, the malaria medication?
No, Larium.
Some people, they have like the really, really crazy dreams on the malaria. That wasn't the one that I had. But some people had really like trippy dreams from like...
Yeah, it's like a hallucinogenic drug that they give
you. Yeah, I wish I got that one. If I ever did Survivor again, I think I would get the psychedelic one.
Well, you know we found a kilo of cocaine on our beach.
Yes,
right? So, I mean, imagine the fun we could have had they not
If you want to hear that story in its entirety, search the archives of Rob Has a Podcast for Rob Has a Shane Powers Cast. And you can hear the...
Shane tell that story?
Hear that story in its entirety, yes. So Malcolm, he almost gets busted with the hidden immunity idol.
Via dream.
Yeah, via dream. But then he had it, apparently, I would like to see more about this. He had it in a buff around his wrist.
Right.
Which, a buff is pretty flimsy. You would think that it would be like flying around if you had a buff hidden in your
yeah,
wrist.
He needs to go bury that thing.
Yeah, well, for the second season in a row, there was a switch, and then the person who Malcolm had the idol with was on the other team, so now Malcolm has the idol all to himself. So last time, he said, I'm going to put the idol in my backpack, and then I still thought this was crazy. Lisa Welch was like, hey, I'm gonna put everybody's laundry out.
Right,
who
so he's definitely
that?
Not going to put it back in his backpack. What I think is amazing is he didn't go back to his beach. It's amazing that he was able to bring his idol with him.
Well, I think this is why they had that meeting.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's like, well, you know, it's day whatever. Who knows what could happen?
Right.
So,
and what did the clue say? Do you remember what Tremail said?
I don't really remember what it was. Something about like I feel like it was something about like it was talking. It seemed like it was talking about a reward, but then there was no reward, right?
No, except that a bunch of fans got to sleep underneath a tarp.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. Anything else from this episode? I know we've so much to get to still in this show. You want to jump to the questions that we have for you?
Well, I did want to say that Dawn cried this episode.
Do you think that after getting a vote from Julia on this episode, do you think that Dawn will this upset Dawn? True grit.
Yeah, getting a vote is upsetting. Period.
Did Dawn cry on this episode?
Yeah.
What was she crying about?
Ask Dawn.
She was still crying from Brandon?
No, she cried about something else, I think. She cried again.
She's...
I think she might have cried when Matt got voted out.
Yeah.
I think that might have
been. She liked him.
Yeah, Matt was a likable guy.
Yeah.
Great beard, great tattoos. You know, it's sad to vote people off.
It is sad.
It really is. For those of you listening, I know this sounds like a cop out, and it's like, yeah, you signed up for Survivor, deal with it. But voting people out is a really gnarly experience. You come back to your beach, and the mood can't be any. It's like you killed somebody. Is what it feels like.
It depends who you got, who you voted out.
Yeah, but generally speaking, when you vote out someone like Matt, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, Matt, and we can say this for Matt. It seemed good guy. He was playing a pretty decent game, playing a pretty good game. I think he might have been in the best position of all of the fans. If they play this out, I think there's no chance he's going home this week. But it happens. Going all the way back to the first switch they ever did.
Yeah.
When going back to Survivor Africa and Silas. Just like, you're on the other team. And
now you're
voted off. Like the whole first three or four episodes, he worked everything out. He had everything set up the way you wanted to. It's like, oh, by the way, you're on this team now and you're voted out. And
There's nothing you can do about it. That's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. And Matt was probably playing a better game than Silas did. And it's happened. I'm sure we can come up with, you know, another half dozen examples of people who had everything set up. And then they go to a switch, and then it's all screwed. Boston Rob his first season.
Dan Barry. Look at Dan Barry on my season.
Yeah.
We are given the power on our tribe to choose to save one of theirs. Mm-hmm. And there's four men and then Sally.
Yeah.
And so we say, well, let's send Sally to Exile Island, and they have to cannibalize, and Dan goes home.
Yeah.
He was in a great position up until then. He probably would have gone pretty deep in the game had he not.
There's a lot of luck in this game. You got to be
so much luck.
You got to be good, and then you got to be lucky too.
Yeah, I would attribute more of my personal success in the game to luck than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most winners would probably tell you that.
Really?
Except Boston Rob.
Well, maybe there's no luck for that. Most winners might tell you that maybe in confidence. I don't know if most winners would. I've interviewed a number of the winners. I mean, I don't know what the number is, but I feel like a lot of the winners.
Where's
don't...
Kurt? Get a number.
A lot of the winners don't Sorry, come Kurt. On. Don't seem to come on here and say, Rob, I'll tell you, I got lucky.
Well, then let me be the first one to say I got lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that there aren't some skill sets required to put yourself in a position to win, and that's what you can do. You can put yourself in a position to win. But when it comes down to it, it's a super dynamic game, and there's no way to control all the variables. And you put yourself in your best position, and then you got to kind of take whatever dealt your hand you're dealt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe you could say that Matt was in a good position, and you could say, oh well, maybe there's something he could have done, but there probably wasn't.
There might have been some
Hail Mary that he could have.
Yeah, I think the only thing that he could have done was do a better job of convincing them he didn't have the idol. Mm-hmm.
And,
I
talked to him.
He did a pretty good job.
And I talked to him on the podcast this morning, and that's just not who that guy is.
Yeah.
He's not the guy who's going to, I think he's a very earnest and sincere guy. And it's like, now you're asking somebody to be a totally different person than what he was. And maybe he doesn't, if he wasn't such an earnest and sincere person, maybe he doesn't make the relationships that he has in the first place to be in a good position.
Yeah.
So, you are who you are. You can't all of a sudden like, oh, you should have been, you should have flown when you like, he's not a bird.
Yeah. Speaking of, this is totally off topic, but I was thinking about this as I was driving over here. Russell Hantz considers himself the king of Survivor, correct?
I believe everybody does.
Okay, everybody. I'm sorry. So does that mean that Amanda is the queen?
Well, Amanda is a Survivor Hall of Famer.
Because Amanda and Russell are the two people who have both gotten to two finals
mm-hmm.
and not come away with a crown, right?
Yeah, I think that Russell's at least first two games were more iconic than Amanda's games.
More memorable. Right.
More memorable. Amanda is, seems to make, have good relationships with people. She's very dominant in the challenges, one of the top female challenge competitors of all time. They're both, for different reasons, not so hot in that last...
Yeah,
in
true.
Debate class.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. All right, yeah, moving on. That brings up another question.
I think Russell, at least his first game, and to some degree his second game, was a bit of a paradigm-shifting game of nobody had played a game like Russell had those two times in a row. It was like a year straight of Russell on Survivor.
And he found those idols, which left a lot of questions.
There's not like anything about you would say about Amanda Kimmel's game of like, oh, nobody, you know, she changed the way people play the game.
But I don't think Russell changed the way people played the game.
I think he did to a degree.
Who do you think, whose gameplay since Russell, besides Brandon, can you say is derivative of Russell?
gameplay that's derivative of Russell. Well, I think I think he changed the way that that the hidden immunity idol comes about.
Agreed.
And maybe he changed the way that the show thinks about the hidden immunity idol. I mean, nobody had used the hidden immunity idol the way Russell did. I'm going to play it. I'm going to use it to my advantage. I'll go find another one. That was one thing. To put my finger on. Now you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I think that he was memorable. And I think that he definitely found a lot of idols. That was definitely memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely he's inspired survivors since to go and look for the idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that might be his biggest.
I think so.
His biggest legacy. But in terms of other people playing like him, there really haven't been that many, if any.
I'm sure we could think of people who. I'm sure we can. That maybe the commenters. This is like one of these things where if we had took 5 minutes and went and came up with a list, maybe we can come up with something. But we don't have that kind of time.
we don't have 3 hours.
This is the commenters will tell us.
All right, fair enough.
That's the good thing. No matter what the question is during the show, that there will be dozens of comments telling us about which one of us is wrong.
All right. So besides Amanda, top female in challenges.
I don't know who is it. Parvati is it?
I'd go Case Brad.
Kim was very good in challenges too.
Yeah, she was really good in challenges. I think that's who I'd go with challenges.
Yeah,
but Amanda was good. Danielle was good.
Yeah,
you know who was actually really good? It was Courtney on our season of Survivor.
Really?
She was great. She was a former gymnast.
Whoa!
So yeah,
there you go.
There you go. All right.
Top all-time, tune in with Otis for the top all-time female challenge.
I mean, I'm curious to know who
on ESPN4.
I'd be curious who you thought the top male challenges are, but I feel like Ozzy's kind of got that one.
No, it's Terry Dietz, no question.
Yeah, he's amazing. Terry was amazing. Terry and Ozzy.
It's Terry Dietz, and it's not close.
And Tom.
Yeah.
And Tom. Terry is Tom.0, right?
Yeah. All right, so let's take some of these questions, and let's see. How about from Eric Nelson? He wants to know, how do you feel about the random tribe switch? Do you think that they should go with the random method, or do you like captains better? Were you okay with the way they switched up the teams? Should it have been a draft?
If it's between a draft and randoms, I prefer a draft. I think what you're seeing right now, the likely... kind of end game of this switch is going to be a couple boring episodes. So I'd much prefer at least a draft.
Okay. Yeah, it could have been better. I think the sooner we get to the merge, the better. I think we could be in for a really crazy merge, but I have a feeling this next episode could be a bit of a snoozer.
It might be a sleeper.
Could be a snoozer. We'll see. Okay. Adam Appler wants to know, other than the cocaine story, any other crazy Shane / Otis stories you want to share?
On Survivor,
we'll take either. If you have a crazy story with you and Shane Powers at a Jack in the Box in Encino, we'll take it.
Oh, I have a lot of stories about Shane that I don't necessarily want to share them. I'll tell you a story about a Survivor story that happened with Shane and I. So we finished a challenge, and it was a swim out and find a piece and then put it together into this hexagonal thing. And we finished the challenge. We were just about to finish and we couldn't solve the puzzle. And Shane looks out. He's like, man, this is not a solvable puzzle. And I was like, and looked back at our puzzle and looked at the pieces on their side, looked at our pieces. Like, you're right. Probst, this is not a solvable puzzle. And Probst's first words are, F you. First word, F-U. Because the challenge, to be fair, the challenge previous, these are some contested challenges, as you well know.
Yes.
And he was like, F-U, if you think you're right, go prove it. So I jump into the water and go grab another piece. The pieces that weren't in the puzzle were duplicates.
Yeah.
So I grabbed what was supposed to be the duplicate of a piece we had and showed him that it wasn't exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And he paused. Uh-oh. We're going to have to talk to our on-site lawyer here. So 15 minutes go by. We're sitting on an unsolved puzzle that's missing one piece, and they're sitting on a solved puzzle, the other tribe.
Yeah.
They come back 15 minutes later, and they're like, so while this is happening, we gather around and say, hey, look at their puzzle, memorize where everything goes.
Yeah.
Because we're obviously going to have to replay this thing. So they come back, and Jeff goes, all right, swim back to shore. We're going to give you guys all a bottle of water each.
Do over.
And we're going to have to do this thing over. And then we ended up winning that challenge. But that was a Shane Powers catalyzed experience.
There you go.
Courtney, on the other hand, as this was happening, was saying, during these 15 minutes, was like, because we hadn't won a challenge yet, she was saying to the producers, like, it's okay. You guys can have the reward. Just don't send any of us to Exile Island. Courtney, whoa. What kind of attitude is that? Come on.
Negotiating. speaking of Shane and Courtney, Nicole Troyer wants to know, how do you think playing with Shane and Courtney compares to playing with Philip and Brandon? Is that even apples and oranges?
I think that maybe Courtney and Brandon might be a good comparison, although Courtney wasn't as violently tormented as Brandon is.
Did Courtney ever threaten to pee in any of your food
stuffs? No, that's the thing, is Courtney's was... The challenge in being with Courtney was like more of a chronic condition than an acute condition that Brandon demonstrated. And Shane was actually a real pleasure to be out there with, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
He had his blow-ups, but Shane wasn't the kind of guy that you'd get annoyed by. Whereas I think maybe Brandon and Philip might sometimes become annoying out there on the island.
Yeah. Could we get Shane and Brandon on a tribe one day together?
I mean, of course, but I just don't think it would be that interesting. I think what would be more interesting is
this is called Survivor 39 minutes, and that's the whole game is 39 minutes. And it's just Shane.
Well, Shane would win a Survivor if it was 5 minutes long, because he could beat anybody in that game. Shane, I don't think Shane got enough credit for his gameplay. He was a good player.
Mm-hmm.
It was his cigarettes that killed him. You know, it really was.
There's a lot of people that could claim that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. It was the cigarettes that killed them. Jessica Frey says, HOI question, okay? This is from our head of interns, Jessica Frey, fellow UC Irvine alumnus.
Yes.
Or she's actually a current student. One, can Otis come to Reality Rally? Pretty please. And can I get a Tundra hat or discount on a UCI-themed Tundra hat for my UCI graduation this spring? Thank you. Love, Otis. You are one of my faves. Are you going to produce a UCI Tundra hat?
I've contemplated this.
Yes.
I've molded over, and I've yet to pull the trigger on it. I know it's a poor show of support for my former school, but it's just not a huge market in Orange County for Tundra hats. I'm sorry.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy talk. And of course, Jessica Frey will be there, leading Team Internino at the Reality Rally. We are closing in on our fundraising goal for the Reality Rally. We are Team Internino needs to raise $1,000 to be able to choose the Survivor or Reality Star to race with them on at the Reality Rally. Jessica Frey and Costa. Well,
aren't you the obvious choice?
No. I raced with them last year, and they came in. We came in like 47th out of 47. I'm just gonna be podcasting and interviewing people.
Well, to answer Jessica's question, I won't be at Reality Rally. I have scheduled some other things in lieu of Reality Rally.
All right, it's your loss.
My apologies. I heard it's a great event. And yeah, you guys have fun.
Yeah. So we are $157 short of our fundraising goal to be able to choose.
Well, I got one on it.
To draft a reality star for the
make
reality
that 156.
Yeah. So if you'd like to help out Jessica Frey and Team Internino, You can go to robhasawebsite.com/realityrally. We have about a week to raise another $157.
I bet if you just asked your listeners to each give 50 cents, you'd cover that in no time. But just ask for no more than 50 cents.
Yeah.
Well, everyone who's listening, man up and drop 50 cents into that account and...
Boom.
These
boom.
Guys can finish 47th again.
I think we can get there with very small donations. Don't be a hero.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go 50 cents.
We need, bro, 157 short.
Yeah, that's 300 people giving 50 cents, and you have a huge fan base. And I know that because my first time on Rob Has a Podcast, you premiered or showed one of my music videos, and the jump in views went from like 300 to 5,000 overnight.
Boom. Wow. all right, so let's see. What else do we have here? This is from Aaron Clark. Says, so excited to see Otis on again. Love him. Maybe he could help compose a farewell song for Brandon Hance. Now, over the summer, you were in Florida, right? For mm-hmm. the did you have a jam session with Brandon Hance?
I'm not going to say I didn't.
Whoa. I've seen videos of Brandon Hance with the guitar. Is Brandon Hance a good guitar player?
I plead the fifth.
Oh.
Brandon Hance is a really sweet guy.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
I would like to say, I know that it wasn't this episode, but I it was hard for me to watch Brandon's episode because I do like Brandon, and I feel like Brandon is was not given enough time or support to fully digest his first season of Survivor. I think when he looks back on it in a few years, he'll probably be more proud of his first season than his second season. Mm-hmm. And that's probably pretty obvious to a lot of people. But I was actually really proud of his first season. You know, if he doesn't give away that necklace, he might win. But yeah. I thought he was a tormented guy who was really battling good and evil. And I admired his choice, his courage to kind of try to take a path different from the rest of his family.
He really didn't do a terrible job the first season. And in Dalton Ross had a really great interview with him. And Dalton Ross said, was it an over course correction? Was it like, boy, we're, you know, I'm like, you know, maybe if I go back again, I'm not going to give away the necklace. And I'm going to be a little more, you know, I'm going to question what people are telling me a little bit more. But otherwise, people liked me. Everybody from that season says, or a lot of people from that season say, if he got to the end of that season, he probably wins because people really liked him. He seemed like a genuine guy. But he came back for the second time around, and who knows what the impetus of the real change in attitude was from between season one and season two. And he's, you know, not the same guy as the first time.
Yeah, I mean, from my experience being on Survivor is after I was on, I got, you know, 99 MySpace messages that were super positive. Dating myself here. And then I'd get one that was really mean.
Yeah.
And I would remember the mean one. You know, I'd remember the hate mail.
Well, it
looks to me like he...
That's like every episode of this podcast where, you know... No, it's true. It's a real thing. You know, it's not just podcast comments or tweets or stuff like that, but it's like, you know, you could have, you know, 30, 40, 50 people tell you, oh, that was great, that was hilarious. But there's, you know, one guy that says, you know, worst show ever, whatever it may be. And there are a lot of these people that, you know, that are also just doing it because
they're trolling,
trolling.
Yeah.
You know, the people that don't have a picture next to their... It's always, you know, 95% of the complaints tend to come from a person that doesn't have a picture next to their thing. But,
so if you really want to fuck up my day, listeners, shoot me a Facebook message and tell me how bad I was on this, and I will be ruined for at least a month.
No, but it's true. And they say you're not supposed to...
Don't read it.
Don't read it.
Yeah, and you really shouldn't. Definitely don't go on the boards. Mm-hmm. But I think, getting back to Brandon, I think that...
No, this is more interesting.
We are more interesting than Brandon. I think I think that he probably read the boards and he, like, you know, his family basically shunned him at the finale. And
do you go on the Survivor Sucks?
No. I went on during my season and I'd cry myself to sleep every night. And then it this is a weird story, but then my cousin decided to, like, start going on Survivor Sucks as well, and he would laugh about all the mean things being said about me.
Yeah.
And one day, somebody on Survivor Sucks saw a picture of me on MySpace with my cousin and put it up, and, like, you know, made some funny comment, and my cousin got so enraged that he joined the Sucks community and became like one of the biggest posters.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And you got it in.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But no, I don't read that stuff anymore. I'm sure if I went back on, I would probably not read it. But you know, it's hard not to, because I'm a narcissistic pig.
Yeah, you know, I just try to generally, and I know that there's a lot of good things that get written there too. And I think for the most part, I think that most of the people that listen to this podcast talk about it favorably,
right?
But you know, I feel like I really do get, you know, demotivated.
Yeah.
And I just don't do it anymore.
Yeah. It's amazing how easy it is to dismiss the nice comments too, you mm-hmm. know? And like that's something that we probably could all like learn how to do a little bit better in life generally, is like receiving a compliment. 'Cause it's so easy to take in a diss and be like, you're right, I do suck.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone says like, yeah, you're great, it's like, yeah, this guy's probably no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's, you know, if it's a lot of times, like if it's criticism that I can deal with criticism, but it's like the stuff that it's like so, you know, over the top,
chock full of venom.
Yeah,
it's yeah, like that's the hard stuff.
You know, you can't even engage. And I think it does take away. Like I read a book about this recently that Seth Godin. And it's a book called The Icarus Deception, and he's talking about how, you know, there's no good in reading your one-star reviews. And I'm sure I have plenty of those in iTunes as well. But you know, there's nothing to be gained from reading a one-star review. You know, maybe there's probably a lot to be gained from reading a three-star review,
right?
Of, you know, it was pretty good. I think it could be a little better here, a little better there. That's something you can learn from. But somebody says, no, this sucked. This was terrible.
Right.
There's really not much you can learn from that.
So is after you read that, do you change your decisions that you make based on Yelp reviews?
Interesting. You know, at least when I'm buying stuff on Amazon, more so than, you know, going and looking for a restaurant, I tend to rarely read the one star reviews,
right?
Of like,
right.
So like whatever, this person got something, unless it's like a ton of one star reviews.
Right.
Can we turn this back into Survivor? Is there any way to get back to Survivor?
One star reviews. Who gets a one star review this episode?
Who gets a one star review? Oh, so we're giving one star reviews?
Well, I mean, who gets a three star? Who gets a five star?
Three star? Well, I think what we did with Philip was a three star review.
Well, I think Cochran gets five.
Cochran, not only that, Cochran also he earned himself for the first time ever. He earned himself a fishy.
Wow, that's one of my biggest regrets is that I did not play. I love that. I want to go back on Survivor.
Good for
just,
Cochran.
I want to go back on Survivor just so that I'm eligible for a fishy.
Yeah.
I will give massages all day long if it means I get a fishy.
Whoa.
Because I know that was...
That's how you get one?
Well, apparently Jeff got one for that. Well, the way he handled Brandoni.
Good for Jeff. It's actually Jeff's second fishy, I found out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I heard that.
Yeah. So Cochran, you felt like gets a five star.
Cochran was great.
Boom.
Yeah, boom. Yeah, he was my only five star of the episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Malcolm might have, but unfortunately, he had all that orange
paint,
stuff.
All that paint,
forehead.
Four stars.
So we got four and a half.
Malcolm, write the review. Give me the review on Malcolm. Malcolm was pretty good.
Malcolm was all right. he was able to deflect the dream, Andrea's dream claim about the idol. He found himself, call it luck, call it fate, call it rigging. He found himself in a strong tribe on the Switch. And he seems like he's in a good position. Unfortunately, he was very unaware.
I wanted more like an Amazon review.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, maybe you should do this because you're more of an Amazon guy than I am.
let me say that I think Malcolm was very good. I was very excited to see Malcolm on the new tribe, but the paint on his arm, there was a little bit of paint on the forehead, which I didn't really care for. It didn't really come out.
It didn't affect its gameplay, but it was hard to look at.
I would definitely recommend Malcolm, four stars. All right, so let's go back to these questions here. Let's go. You follow the college basketball?
Absolutely.
All right. You have your final four picks for Glenn Holford?
I do. I didn't realize that I was going to be called on, but I have Indiana, Louisville, Georgetown. Do I have Georgetown? Yeah, I have Georgetown.
You're asking me?
Shoot. I'm trying to remember who my fourth team was. Kansas.
Okay.
I don't know if Georgetown made it. I know that Indiana, Louisville, and Kansas are in. I'd have to look at my bracket, but I have Indiana winning the whole thing, beating Louisville 72-68.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's great. It's the best 4 days of the sports world are these 4 days here.
There you go.
I would venture to guess that there is less efficiency on these 4 days in the American workforce.
Well, they say that this week is the top week. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, go on.
This week is the top week of the year that people get vasectomies.
Really?
Yes, because you have to, like, I guess, apparently, from what I hear, you have a vasectomy, and then you have to sort of, like, sit on the couch with an ice pack on your crotch, uh-huh. I guess, and you, like, have to just sit around and watch
TV.
So
if you're going to schedule it for the opening round of the...
I was thinking today as I was thinking about this, not that I'm thinking of having a vasectomy, but I was surrounding...
It's never too early to start thinking about a vasectomy.
When would I get the vasectomy? I'm trying to think of what would be the... Now, for the most part, I'm sitting in a chair 19 hours a day anyway, talking into a microphone. So my life probably wouldn't change much if I had a vasectomy surgery, but I'm trying to think of when and what time of year.
Well, when you're not doing pull-ups. For your listeners at home, in the studio here, Rob has a pull-up bar in the doorway that he obviously uses.
Obviously.
So that's out
honest,
the door,
you don't
man.
Look like this by not having a pull-up bar.
Clearly, yeah. So that's going to have to go.
Yeah. I thought maybe, I do like the NFL draft, but I feel like that's all spread out. Maybe the first week of Big Brother when they turn on the live feeds,
nothing else to do but watch the live feed.
Yeah, like right when they turn it on, when there's like 12 people in the house and it's really, really crazy. That might be the reality TV equivalent.
Yeah, that might be it for you. I'm trying to think for me when a vasectomy might be the most.
When would you get your vasectomy?
Like,
that's
going to
be our question
active.
every week.
That's a great opener.
Most men get a vasectomy the weekend of March Madness. What would be your vasectomy weekend?
You know, I would probably go with March Madness as well, because granted, I only took in one game today, but it would be
you like
great.
It.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm a former college basketball player.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really? That. At
D1, yeah.
UCI?
UC Irvine, yeah. We went to the NIT twice.
Boom.
Never made it to the NCAA tournament.
I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks. Wow. A long time ago, but yeah. Oh, so I have a special place in my heart for college athletics.
There's so much about you that we learn every time.
Well, that's the thing, is that I'm slowly pulling back the curtains.
You're slowly reeling us in.
Consider this like Major League, and I'm the owner.
Wow. Wow. Let's see. Satnam Mogo wants to know, is Otis the most successful businessman amongst Survivor winners? Are you the most successful businessman of the Survivor winners?
I don't know, because we don't take notes, but my guess is that Earl Cole.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to talk about this later in the show, but since you bring it up now.
Yeah, Earl Cole's come up with a pretty cool... concept, and it's on Kickstarter.
Yes. Speaking of, we have done our own. Now, I don't know if Earl Cole ripped us off or not. We actually were the first Kickstarter ever, Reality Game Masters, which is just about to close. And then right after we did a Kickstarter, then Veronica Mars ripped us off, and then they're doing a Veronica Mars movie after the success of the Reality Game Masters Kickstarter, and now here comes Earl Cole. With he has his own Kickstarter.
Yeah, which is actually something you might think about getting for Rob Has a Podcast. Oh,
see, you know what? Do you understand what it is? Because I've only looked at
it.
Yeah,
I do understand what it is. So basically...
Let me set this up. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a very high-level overview, and I'm probably doing a poor job at that. But essentially, it's a box that allows small businesses to run their own text interface with customers or fans, in the case of a podcast, listeners, mm-hmm. so that you could say text 4432 to, or text yes to 4432 if you want to hear Aris on the next Rob Has a Podcast, and all your listeners could come back.
Now, and do you know the name of this device?
It's Smashbox, I think.
No,
it is
a Smushbox.
Smushbox. Yeah.
It is a Smushbox. If you go to... I don't know if they need. You can look it up on Kickstarter. Maybe I will. I'll post a link to it.
Yeah, post the link
if you want to. If you want to check it out, it'll be Rob has a website.com/smushbox. That's SMUSHBOX. I have nothing to do with this product. I'm just
Neither do I. But you know, as a former,
when Otis puts out a video, I feel like that there's so much. If a survivor is doing something besides, getting arrested, I feel like why not
support that?
I figure
that
you guys are interested, and why not tell you guys about
it? Yeah, and if they get arrested, tell them too. I mean, don't cut that out of the equation, Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about that too. Okay, here we go. So,
so what I understand about it is that typically for a business to run these things, it's not really accessible for small businesses because it's such an exorbitant fee and takes 3 months to set up. But this technology allows small businesses to get into the texting game, the SMS game,
mm-hmm.
at a low cost, and it makes it accessible.
Yeah. So if the Rob has a podcast listeners put this over the edge, then Earl should give me a smush box.
Absolutely. I bet.
So and then they need the money to invent this. Is that what they to build the prototype?
No, they've invented it. Now they just need it for production, right?
Yeah. You seem to know a lot about this. Did Earl come to you before doing the Kickstarter as an investor?
He didn't come to me. But he sent out like a Facebook post, so I watched it.
And here's the thing that this one is running out, but this is there was an incentive on the Kickstarter for the Survivor fans. For Survivor fans who are big fans of the TV show Survivor, not only would you get for $50, not only do you get one badass smush t-shirt, but you also get an 8x10 personalized autographed HD photo. Who knew they're doing HD photos now?
That's impressive.
Of camp life at Ravu with Earl Cole, winner of Survivor Fiji, first unanimous winner ever, and fan favorite / computer scientist, Yao Man Chan, and they don't name anybody else.
Is Dreams in it?
I don't know. I don't know my Ravu tribe trivia. This is indeed a super cool reward for any collector of Survivor memorabilia or just a big fan of the wildly popular, highly competitive reality TV show, The Smush Tribe Has Spoken. So there you go.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. I hope it takes off for him.
Smush box.
I think it would be interesting. I think you should probably have Rob Earl call in next episode so he can explain what it is and maybe get you set up with one to test it.
To test it.
And then the listeners can decide for themselves.
That would be good.
Because you do have a big fan base. You could start doing SMS games with your,
What's an SMS game?
Well, I don't know. Like, who was your Rob Has a Podcast player of the week?
Oh! Cochran was upset that he was not nominated for Sprint Fan Player of the Week this week.
As he should be. He was a five-star player.
He was he earned a five.
Fantastic.
The guy got a fishy and an Otis.com five-star review.
That guy deserves a
Tundra
hat.
And he was not even nominated.
That guy deserves a Tundra hat.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan Kalish wants to know, do you think that the Wambulance will have to come for Dawn again this season?
Yeah, absolutely. Dawn's good for a crying episode. I've never met Dawn. She seems fantastic. She seems like a great person, but she knows how to let them tears fly.
How you doing? Are you getting tired? Should I start to speed this up?
No, this is great. I'm having so much fun. We could do this all night long. I just don't know if anyone would be listening by the time I was done talking about Survivor.
We'll see. We still have a special phone call coming up.
Who's it going to be?
Well, you'll find out. Dan Heaton wants to know, would Brandon's problems be solved by Tundra Hat?
Name a problem that a Tundra Hat couldn't solve.
I don't know.
That's the question that I'm going to pose back to Dan.
That's a good question.
Facebook me privately.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. How about Brad Craig wants to know, in the Scorn 2 Citizens on Patrol, would you play a zombie vampire? Are you an actor, too? Do you act?
Not an actor.
Would you?
But Scorn 2, is that a coach project?
No. I wrote and produced the original The Scorn.
Shut the front door.
Yes. Yes.
Can we have a viewing party for
that? I think we'll have a 10-year anniversary party in 2015.
Rob, for you, I would be in your film.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no. But you got to remember, I'm a little taller than your average bear, so you got to take that into consideration when you cast.
Yeah, Otis is taller than we thought.
Yeah, That's what Nicole says, at least.
Yes, according to at Nicole Loves Shoes. That's what she's reporting. Let's see. Ron Chan wants to know. Oh, actually, we will have a viewing party for The Scorned, but I will forget to DVR it. And then we'll have a special reading of the specialist, colon, the Costa Rica job. And then you'll leave. Ron Chan wants to know, are you going to sell any Stealth R Us Tundra hat pins in honor of former federal agent Philip Shepard?
Well, obviously, I can't talk about that.
Whoa. Do you have a Stealth R Us nickname?
Stealth Otis.
Stealth Otis? Oh, this probably gets very confusing.
I have a challenge for the listeners.
Yes.
This is my own plug. So I recently released a video that you... Did you see it, Rob? The split screen video?
Of course, yes.
I would like, in lieu of this one-star, five-star rating, I would love it if listeners of Rob Has a Podcast would watch my music video for Sword in the Stone and give honest feedback and try to leave out the one-star ratings.
Yeah.
Unless they really feel like it's a terrible music video. And the reason that I'm asking for this, one, is obviously self-interest. I'd love for people to watch it. But two... I was in the car the other day with my girlfriend, and I was having this moment of complete and utter just gloom about my artistic abilities.
Oh.
And I was like, sweetie, I don't understand. I was so excited about this music video when we were making it. I swore that this was the best piece of art I'd ever made. And no one really responded to it in a way where they were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I did.
You did. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that, like, I was like, and I said, why is that? Like, why?
All right, give you a link to. What do you want to be? robhaswebsite.com/oddisvideo.
Yeah. How about rate my video?
Well, that's going to get confusing because then who is the my in that? I think it's my video. It's my website.
Oh, that's true.
robhaswebsite.com. So, and we're going to spell it not odd. You want to spell it odd us video, or you want to spell ARAS video?
What do you think is going to be most effective?
Let's say I think most people are trained for ARAS.
All right, fair enough.
All right, fair enough.
But for listeners who don't know, my musical name is spelled ODD US, so that you can't mess up the pronunciation.
Yes, man, this me up until 4 o'clock in the morning with this podcast. All right.
Let's keep it going. Yeah. This could be a marathon cast.
Yeah, just to timestamp this, it is 11:10 p.m. on Thursday right now. Nicole has gone to bed 2 hours ago. Yes.
Reyes is asleep on
Reyes
his bed.
Reyes is like curled up in a blanket somewhere.
we might need to break for pull-ups here.
Yeah, we're going to have a break for pull-ups.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Here's what you should do. Is you should
workout podcast?
No. Every time a survivor comes in, you should see how many pull-ups they can do and start. Because survivors are
challenge.
Super...
Yes. All right. Yes. All right. You want... Well, let's see.
Well, I already did a few, so I feel like my numbers might be a little inaccurate.
Man, we could have started last night when the Finchler was here.
Yeah, I would love to be a part of that, except that I need to train a little bit.
Well, who do you think could do more pull-ups, you or the Finchler?
Finchler.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with that and then try to beat him.
All right, try to beat the Finchler. We could have a bracket on the on the whiteboard.
Exactly. You know what? If you just had that on the whiteboard every time you had an in-studio guest, you know survivors. They're going to want to try to beat it.
Now, are these pull-ups or chin-ups?
Pull-ups. So like hands facing the bar.
Hands facing the bar?
Yeah.
We'll see what the over-under is from the audience of how many I could do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the numbers would be all over the board.
You can knock out six.
Six?
Yeah.
Six pull-ups.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Is that interesting if I did it now?
Absolutely.
All right.
At least to me.
All right. This is either a one-star podcast or a five-star podcast.
All right, guys. So Rob's gonna do these pull-ups, and I'm gonna do my best to commentate. This is actually a dream for me. I've always wanted to be a sports commentator. Rob is approaching the pull-up area. Do I need to be closer?
Well, you won't be able to hear me.
Oh, yeah. They're just going to hear me. So I'm just going to describe what's happening here. Rob's electing not to stretch out at all. He's going right to the bar.
Wide grip or close?
Your call. Your call on the grip.
The number is six?
The over-under is six. Rob's electing to go wide grip here. His first one knocks it out easily. Two. Three. Four, he's starting to turn a little red in the face. Five, but he's still moving quickly. Six, not a problem. Seven, he goes to seven. Rob, that was really good.
We'll keep it.
For those of you listening at home, Rob actually knocked those seven out. He probably could have done another three or four if he really wanted to grind
it out.
Well,
we got a lot of questions to get to.
Rob, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
How often do you do that?
Not often. Not as often as they should.
Like every day?
No. Yeah, at different times, but
okay.
I
don't know if I
slacking.
Can get to seven.
Yeah.
I have a lot of doubts in my head if
well,
I can get to seven.
No. People are turning this off. Like,
people
right.
are like, I do
people
not
listening
want to listen
at
to
triple
this
speed at this point. All right.
Just get to the surprise call in.
Okay, here's a good question. Brad Craig wants to know, has Otis ever pretended to be Ryan Seacrest for sex?
No, but I have been in a long relationship, so maybe my girlfriend might request that I do that. Keep things interesting.
I mean, in the 2013...
Is that a compliment, or is that a... is that what is that?
I don't know. And who is Ryan Seacrest getting sex from? In 2013, you do not look anything like Ryan Seacrest.
No. I'm substantially taller than Seacrest. He's substantially more successful and, you know, a much better host, as demonstrated by my ability to commentate on your pull-ups. So.
Yes.
A lot of disparity.
All right. Let's see. You want a ding, marry, kill?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Set me up good.
We're pulling
time.
Out all the stops tonight. Brian Scally wants to know, ding, marry, kill, Andrea, Brenda, or Corinne?
Oh, this is easy.
Okay. Oh, good.
Okay.
Going right for it.
I ding Corinne.
Okay.
Marry Brenda. Kill Andrea.
Whoa.
You got it. You've heard it here first.
Ding, marry, kill.
It's not easy on the kill part because I like Andrea, but that's where
I'm trying to think if this is the correct answer.
Ding. Is this the politically correct answer?
Oh, it's the politically correct answer.
No, it's not. This is my answer. This is I think I like the sassiness Corinne shows. I think that that should be a real Bobcat in bed, and I think Brenda would run a very tight ship at home, be a good partner.
Good, yeah.
And
she's recently engaged.
Yeah, recently engaged.
There you go.
From what I hear, and I think Andrea is awesome, but she lives in New York. I don't think she's ready to settle down yet. So
all right, can't knock it. All right, so we got a lot of questions on board. We're still going to do some voicemails, but. Would you like to take a phone call?
Let's do it. I'm excited to see who's calling.
All right, Otis. See, this is what happens when you have a winner here in the house with you. Then all the other winners start showing up because they want to all brag about what's going on. We have a real surprise for you guys tonight. We have actually a second Survivor winner joining us here on the hotline. Here he is, the winner of Survivor Africa. The one and only Ethan Zahn.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ethan, how are
good
you?
Good to be here. I'm doing all right. We should play One of These Things Do Not Belong Here, in this little studio.
But then who would run the podcast, Ethan? That's the problem.
Yeah.
That is true. Rob, you have assistance now, though. You're big time.
You guys would just be talking on the phone. There'd be no recording of this conversation.
That would probably be better.
Probably be a better conversation. Be off the record. So, Ethan, thank you for joining us. I'm sure everybody wants to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I just had my 1 year in remission anniversary, or cancerversary, if you want to talk about it. And I'm feeling good, feeling strong, feeling healthy. And, you know, Ethan 3.0 is here.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. And now Ethan also has another claim to fame, which I don't know if you saw this. Ethan was actually one of the few survivors to ever be a guest on the Jeff Probst talk show.
Yes.
Talk about that.
I was.
Jeff Probst was loving you on the Jeff Probst talk show.
I mean, I've rarely seen Jeff Probst in such a good mood.
He was so happy to see you.
So I've seen him twice. He was really happy to snuff my torch in All-Stars and really happy to see me on his incredible show that unfortunately just got canceled.
I will not be able to muster up the enthusiasm that Jeff Probst had for having you on the show. And they kept cutting to this one picture. Did you see this, Otis?
I missed it, but
they kept cutting this one picture of Jeff Probst and he was like draped over you like a cape.
It's true. He was hugging me, you know, and he was like a little bit shorter than me and smiling really big. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that was all about.
It was kind of like the family visit.
Yeah. It was your loved one visit with Jeff Probst.
Yes. I'm also the only season to not have a real family visit.
Yeah.
My family actually wasn't there.
Yeah, what'd they have? They were on, like, Skype?
It was like a pre-video conference type thing.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I think you're probably lucky. I think the family visit never really helps anybody in their season.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're definitely right.
Yeah, so Ethan is on the line tonight, actually. There is a reason for Ethan calling in tonight, and I want to give Ethan the chance to talk about he's doing something this weekend, raising money for charity and playing soccer as per usual. So, Ethan, tell us about what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend we have a giant soccer festival at the Home Depot Center in Carson, California. And basically Grassroots Soccer, which is a charity I helped co-found with the money I won from Survivor, partnered with the Mia Hamm Foundation, which is Mia Hamm's a really famous female soccer player. And we are having a soccer tournament, and we're having a celebrity soccer match. And what's exciting about the soccer tournament, which is happening during the day, is we have some pretty cool teams playing. It's all industry people, like all people from, you know, let's say advertising agencies, TV shows, PR companies, movie distribution houses, blah, blah, blah. But we have a Survivor team. We have a Bachelor Bachelorette team. We have a Jeff Probst TV show team. And we have an amazing race team playing. We have and one of the people who are on this conversation is playing in this tournament.
Okay.
That would be out of.
And yeah, and you would not want me on your soccer team.
But you have appeared in these celebrity soccer matches before.
I did. In 2004, and then I retired. I scored a goal, even.
Well, this is a testament to how Ethan's been able to grow his foundation, because the last time I played in one of these, I was in the celebrity match. Now I'm just in the open tournament.
Yeah. Now, are there brackets?
That is absolutely true.
Are there brackets I can fill out of all the teams in the soccer tournament this weekend and then start a pool in my office?
There is, actually. I can send you the list. It can be like March Madness for charity in soccer. I'm happy to do that for you.
And then once I have a pool going in my office, then could I pay off Otis to like fake an injury and throw the match?
100%.
Italian
That's
football.
That's been happening a lot in soccer these days.
Yeah.
But like if they're in the area, you know, we have like greats like Parvati, Ozzy, Otis, Julie Berry, John Fincher, Danielle DiLorenzo, Nate Gonzalez, they're all playing. You know, we have got a really, you know, cool Bachelor team, Courtney Robertson, Jesse Kovacs, Steven Stagliano, Dana Pappas, you know, racers. Rachel and Brendan will be there, Megan and Chaney. So it's going to be a really fun day.
Whoa.
And Ethan, who's playing in the actual celebrity match?
Well, we have a lot of, if you are a soccer fan, some like retired soccer greats, Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy. We have Abby Wambach, Alex Morgan. You know, we have Chris Harrison, who is the Bachelor host, is playing. Damian Bashir. We have Jewel Hill, Diego Luna. Noma Garcia Parra. Rob, as a baseball fan.
Yes.
So Sabrina Bryan for the little ones. You know, we got Gilles Marini from Dancing with the Stars. It's going to be a good day.
Whoa. Yeah. That's gonna be a wild day. And now, will the reality stars be drinking during the competition?
Yes. I replaced Gatorade, which is our sponsor, with Red Bull vodka.
Whoa!
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Drink up.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to attend or learn more information or buy tickets to this incredible event, you can go to lafest.net, and all the money, you know, will be going to a good cause, Grassroots Soccer, and the Mia Hamm Foundation.
Okay, that's lafest.net, and we'll put the link up on Rob has a website in the show notes of this page if you want to come out and see Ethan and all the reality stars at the Home Depot Center.
Exactly.
That's right. So, Ethan, are you concerned that any of the players on your team might pull a Brandon Hance and dump out all the Gatorade and then throw a fit, try to fight somebody else? Are you worried about that?
I have them sign contracts and waivers, so I'm pretty confident that no one will back out.
Because Otis looks like he's close to a meltdown.
I can pull a hammy, and if that happens,
yeah.
You
can
go
in
any second.
Pull out one of those tundra hats and put it on, I think we'll be okay.
I'm only playing if I'm allowed to wear a tundra hat, obviously.
Is it indoor or outdoor soccer? Because I'm worried that Otis could overheat in an indoor soccer match in a tundra hat.
It's outdoor on field turf at the beautiful practice field that the LA Galaxy train on and the U.S. national team trains on. So it'll be a wonderful day. Lots of sunshine and laughter and smiles.
And Alex Morgan.
Oh, my God, Alex Morgan. Morgan, yeah. If anyone has not seen Alex Morgan, I highly suggest you Google her. She's a very good-looking female soccer player.
All right, we'll do that, and a lot of people are doing that as you speak. Ethan, have you ever seen anything like what we saw on Survivor last week?
Last week?
Yes.
With the hands or last
with
night?
The hands, with the whole meltdown.
I haven't really.
Now you were there. You were there at the probably the only situation that was close to this was on Survivor All Stars was when Sue Hawk, same deal where they came to the challenge. And Jeff's like, all right, how you doing? How you doing? And hey, all right, Sue, how you doing? And she gets up there and she just let him have it.
Yeah. I mean, a very similar situation. And, you know, I think Hatch and Sue kind of worked it out a little better than Hance. But I think Sue could have gone a little bigger with her departure, you know, now looking at what Hance did.
Did Jeff learn anything from that? That if he would have maybe given Sue Hawk a massage or that Sue Hawk was on a strict no-touching rule at that point?
She would have sued him. Yeah, she would have sued him clearly if he gave her a massage.
Fantastic.
Because Richard Hatch used a different part of his body to give her a massage as he passed by on the balance beam, and that didn't work out so well, now did it?
Yeah, no, it did not.
If Jeff quit the show, then what happens?
I don't know. Would somebody be there to give him a massage?
I think Burnett would.
Maybe Mark Burnett. Are you watching the Bible, Ethan?
You know, unfortunately, as a Jewish person, that's blocked from my cable station.
Well, can't you watch the first half?
That's true. When Jesus was a Jew?
Yes.
Yeah, once he turns over, maybe, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Passover is coming up, so it's a really good time for an Easter. So it's a good time to premiere the show.
Ethan, did you see the controversy at all this week with the Bible?
I didn't.
Did you see?
Well, I knew
honest,
they were trying
know,
to.
No, I've
you
know no, what I'm talking I, about? I know about the show, but I don't know about the controversy.
Yeah, Mark Burnett produces the show, The Bible. And the mini series, and there was a big controversy because they introduced the character of Satan on the show,
and he looks like Barack Obama.
And a lot of people felt like the actor who played Satan, looked identical to Barack Obama.
Wow!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Was he born in the United States?
No, but Mark Burnett has refuted absolutely not. He did not cast somebody on The Bible to play Satan to look like Barack Obama.
Wow, that's weird.
Ethan, I thought you had more answers about this.
Well, Ethan, have you heard about the Lululemon controversy?
No. It sounds delicious, though.
Well, have you heard about this, Rob?
I at least know what Lululemon is.
Okay, do you know what Lululemon is, Ethan?
It's a Canadian company.
Yeah, yeah, and they make yoga clothes, right? And they're really popular amongst women. But apparently, they've done a huge recall because their black pants, their like spandex pants, are all too sheer. And so they're revealing too much. And apparently, when women would go back into the store to return them after the recall, there was some sort of disconnect between corporate and the stores. And the employees at the stores would say, put them on and bend over, let me see.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a big controversy about this.
Ethan, will anybody at the soccer match be wearing Lululemon black pants?
Besides you,
of course. They don't want to be, like, people don't, they're afraid they'll look like Barack Obama.
Full circle.
Full circle, bring it around. Ethan, what about last night on The Survivor, where they decide to vote out Matt over Julia, who was worse in the challenges? Did you like that as a move for the favorites?
For the favorites, yes. I think you know, seeing Matt as being a little bit proactive, trying to kind of change things up, make a bold move once the merge came around and the switch up. I think they saw that as he's a more aggressive, proactive player that, you know, could do better in the long run. Whereas this other girl was, you know, kind of, you know, sitting back. being a little bit vanilla, and they could probably maneuver her and mold her into what they wanted her to do and which way they wanted her to vote. But if I was, you know, Matt, I would have tried to get one of the favorites on my side. Corinne probably could have flipped, maybe. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Ethan, how do you feel about the Mel Gibson reference in last night's episode?
Yeah.
This is this one giant kind of religious conversation we're having.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, I don't particularly remember that.
Okay, well, let me refresh your memory, and then do you have a couple minutes, Ethan? Because then I have a game.
Yeah, I love games.
Okay, good. All right, so let me pull up the exact quote from last night. So in the opening sequence, we had everybody talking about after they came back from the Hansageddon. They came back and they're all talking about what had happened.
And there's a cello in the background.
Yes. And so Corinne had the quote. She had said, I forget if this was in confessional or she said this to the tribe, but Corinne had said, he is out of his mind up there with Mel Gibson and any other crazy person. Okay? So what I decided to do today, with the help of Taylor Cotter and the Rob is a Podcast interns, I thought we would play a game to see if you guys know who is which crazy person said it. Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson? Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Okay, so I'm going to read you a quote, and you tell me which crazy, quote-unquote crazy, because Brandon has not been diagnosed with anything, and maybe not Mel Gibson either.
Is Alec Baldwin involved in this at all?
No.
That's unfortunate.
No. No, okay, so you know, Corinne put it out there, Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson, okay?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here's a quote number one. Okay. Let's start with, I don't need medication. You need an effing bat to the side of the head. All right. All right. Now who said,
I'm going to go with Mel.
Round one. All right. This is Ethan versus Otis.
Otis goes with Mel.
Okay.
Well, then I got to go with Hans.
All right. The quote is, I don't need medication. You need an effing bat to the side of the head, all right? And Otis, you said what?
I said Mel.
Mel Gibson. Ethan says Brandon Hance. And this round goes to Otis.
Whew. Ah,
man. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
You don't have to go against me, Ethan. We can be, you know, we can vote the same way, at least to start.
Can we?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
I wasn't really good at games.
Okay. Round two, okay?
Hands.
are we gonna actually? Let's do that. We're gonna jump in.
Well, let me read the quote.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Here we go.
I like going in blind, though.
Round two says, "My Bible says David's son." There's the Bible again. My Bible says David's son Solomon was talking about how wise people get their wisdom from pain. A lot of wisdom comes from suffering. All right. Now, is that Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson? I'll give it to you guys one more time. My Bible says David's son Solomon was talking about how wise people get their wisdom from pain. A lot of wisdom comes from suffering. I think Yoda said that also. All right.
I think I'm going to go with Hance for some reason.
Ethan wants Hance.
Yeah, I think I'm just based on the syntax of the sentence, I'm going to go ahead and say Hans.
Okay, you guys both, we have a double Hans.
Yeah.
Okay? And it is Hans. Yes.
Nice one, Ethan. Congratulations, man.
Both of you guys, double Hans. Okay.
When did he say that?
I believe that this was in an interview with Gordon Holmes.
Okay, so they're not all Survivor quotes.
They're not all, these are also taken from exit interviews.
Wow.
Okay.
Any of this from the Enhanced show?
I don't believe so. I believe all my sources are cited here for Brandon. I can't tell you where Mel Gibson said these things. Okay, but let's keep going. Who said Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson? Who said I'm going to go out Braveheart style?
Hance.
I'm going to go out Braveheart style. Ethan, you said Hance also?
Well, I would never really, yeah, I think I got to, because you got to be pretty confident and self-centered to, well, I guess they are.
yeah, but, to quote your own movie.
Yeah, that's just bang
yeah,
out
Mel
of
Gibson
order.
Mel Gibson actually was Braveheart.
What? Oh, okay. I'm going to go hands, but
definitely
I don't know.
Hands.
I'm playing the odds here. And
he actually said this one on air, I think.
All right, can't get it past Otis. He's 3 for 3. It was Brandon Hance. Brandon Hance was the one who said, I'm going to go out
Which
Braveheart
style. It's amazing. So that's 2 episodes in a row where Mel Gibson was referenced.
It's the only movie the kid's seen.
Okay. Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson, who said, your logic sucks because you're a mentally deprived idiot?
I'm going to go with Gibson.
Yeah, that's 100% Gibson.
Okay.
Right. Not Deborah. Not Deborah.
Not Debbie Gibson, the former Celebrity Apprentice contestant. Yes. All right, so that's 4 for Otis and 3 for Ethan. Ethan needs Otis to slip up here. Okay.
All right, let's make a little side bet.
Side bet. Okay.
I'll give you 25% of my winnings if you...
If I Roberto Baggio this thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Who said this? This is round 5. Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson? How dare you act like such a family friendly. How dare you act like such a bitch? I'm not going to be a bitch. How dare you act like such a bitch when I have been so effing nice? How dare you act like such a bitch when I have been so effing
Gibson.
Nice?
And.
Okay, Otis Gibson. says Gibson. Ethan says Hance.
Tied up, my friend.
And it's Gibson.
Yes. Boy. That was on the recording, Ethan. Come on, man.
you didn't realize that Otis memorized the Mel Gibson recordings.
I have an uncanny ability
and
to
he's
remember
sitting next
dysfunctional
to you, where you're
familiar.
Writing
he can't read this.
Paper.
He can't see the paper. He can't
no,
see
no,
the
paper.
I don't believe you. There's no proof.
I have too much integrity to let Otis see the answers.
I had a previous side bet with Sister Nino. I'm sorry, man.
All right. Two questions left. So you need Otis to choke here, Ethan. You need to get these next two right. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Who said... Let's see. Who said...
You're really pitting the Christians versus the Jews right now. You know
this is this is a tinderbox in here right now.
Yeah. Who said I don't make things complicated? That's the way they get all by themselves.
Ooh, Albert Einstein.
Who said that? I don't make things complicated. That's the way they get all by themselves. Is that Brandon Hance or is that Mel Gibson?
Gibson.
Ethan says Gibson.
Okay, well, the safe bet is to go Gibson because that ensures a victory.
the survivor strategy comes into play. This should be, you know, it should have been a...
You should make me go first. Yeah, let's do another one. I have to guess first the last two
It
ones.
Should have been a blind... I should have write his answers down, like the Newlywed Game, and that's how it should have been.
Fair enough. Do you have 2 more quotes you can do so that I'll just guess first, and that way... And then Ethan will have to guess the other way if he wants a chance at winning.
All right. All right, so you're going to guess the other way?
Yeah.
All right, Ethan makes up some ground here. Yes, it was Mel Gibson said, I don't make things complicated. That's the way they get all by themselves. Okay?
This could be a push.
Okay. All right.
I'm guessing first, Ethan, so don't guess until I guess, okay?
Okay. All right, so... Here, what do I have to do? Do I have to give you paper?
No, I'll just guess first, and okay. That way...
Yeah, make them write it down, survivor style.
Okay, yeah, I'll write it down.
All right, I'm going to give you Otis an index card.
I'm going to write in bubble writing, just to be clear.
Write in whatever is writing the fastest. All right, here we go. All right, for round...
I'm eating.
All right.
Yeah, what are you eating, Ethan? Sounds delicious.
I'm having a pickle.
A pickle?
I'm taking my, what are those little wafer things you put in your mouth?
Matzah?
For, like, communion?
A communion.
It's a you know, this is not the podcast episode for a layman at all.
No. Okay, here we go. All right, Mel Gibson or Brandon Hance. Otis could win it right here. There's ups and downs in life, and it was a rough time in life, and I don't expect people to understand it, but it is what it is. That's the reality of things. I'm no different than anyone else, man. Really, just extraordinary personality. That's all.
Oh. I mean, you use the word reality, so it's probably Hance, right?
Well,
Aris?
Well, let's see what Aris wrote down.
I have Otis locked in.
I wrote Hance down.
Oh,
well,
I
he
didn't
say it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You might as well pick Gibson. It's your only chance, Ethan.
All right.
Gibson.
You say Gibson?
I do.
It's Hance. All right, Otis is the winner of the the first annual Corinne Kaplan, Brandon Hance versus Mel Gibson quote off.
This is the first time I've won something Survivor related in 7 years, and it feels great.
And I still don't know what it feels like. I don't know what, anything. All right, Ethan. Thank you for calling us and playing
pleasure.
The Brandon Hance versus Mel Gibson game.
Ethan, are you going to play with us in the morning? Are you going to coach?
Yeah, I might do double duty. I might be like, you know, coaching the Survivor team, playing the grassroots soccer team, or vice versa. But I'm really excited to see everyone, and I hope everyone who's listening to this podcast is going to come out, support the cause, support your favorite survivors, and have just a fun day.
All right, LAFest.net. If you want to get more information, come on out and see Ethan and Otis. And even the Finchler is going to be there,
and
too.
It's free.
Yeah, so.
It's free during the day.
Whoa.
Oh, it's free.
Okay. Yeah. Right. There you go. Another selling point. You get home in time to watch the Bible at nighttime, too. See what other cameos show up.
It's going to be a great Sunday.
All right. Ethan, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you. Talk to you guys.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, Otis, there you have it. That was Ethan Zahn, a double winner Survivor podcast.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I feel like we should try to get another winner into this podcast.
We talked about Earl Smushbox. We had Ethan on the phone. You're here.
Yeah, who else could we pull in?
Get Bob Crowley. Text him. Get the Smushbox. Fire up the Smushbox.
Unfortunately,
Let's text Bob
Bob's
Crowley.
Asleep.
Bob Crowley, does he have text message?
That's what we should do. We should get the Smushbox and text every
all the
winner.
Winners.
Yes. A winner's Smushbox.
How many winners are up right now? Fabio's up.
Fabio's definitely up. But he has a child, so which we spoke about last time, right? So he's probably you know, kind of catch as much
is
sleep
Natalie
as he can.
White up? I mean, what time is it on the what is she on the East Coast?
She's in Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
She's in the Midwest. I don't know.
Is Kim on her honeymoon? She's out. She's out of the country. Probably doesn't get service.
Yeah, not getting service.
Yeah. Okay. Wedding congratulations to Kim Spradlin, who since the last time we did our Survivor podcast, she was married. And Stephen Fishback and John Fincher already wished her well on Survivor Know-It-Alls last night.
Yeah, that's congratulations, Kim.
Yeah, congratulations. So, Otis, are you ready to get into some voicemails?
I cannot wait. I've never heard a voicemail on the podcast
before. Oh boy!
Before, so
oh
this is
boy!
Exciting.
You're in for a treat. As we know, you guys can send us voicemail as you do every week. Call us up anytime. 323-282-RHAP, 323-282-RHAP, or go to robisawebsite.com/voicemail. You could also do that from your iPhone or iPad, and you can record right from from the mobile device. So let's fire it up. So this week we had our 500th podcast this week.
Congratulations. That's honestly
500 podcasts.
Amazing.
Yes. Put together that if you listen to every episode of Rob as a podcast back to back, it would take you 22 straight days without sleeping.
Wow. It's almost akin to what Jesus did.
Yes. Yes.
40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah. So you have been watching the Bible.
No. I'm just biblically well read.
Okay. So let's see. So we had some people call up. I didn't call you to leave us a voicemail because I knew you were coming.
Right.
But we did. When I first talked to John Fincher, I had asked him to leave me a voicemail, and that was when he said, "Hey, why don't I just come to the podcast?" so here's, and then John Fincher left us a voicemail. But by the time he left his voicemail, we were already recording the show. So here's John Fincher's voicemail, congratulating us on 500 shows.
Justinino, John Fincher, Survivor Samoa, congratulations, buddy! 500 best of wishes to you and wife. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah, that was that.
Yeah, well, left something to be desired, perhaps.
That's why I led off with it.
There's no fishy for that.
No, sorry. No,
I would love to. You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to be able to give a fishy.
Okay, all right. Here you go. So this is let's set this up. This is Otis is going to give a fishy.
Well, I don't know who I'm going to give it to yet. I'm waiting to be impressed by a voicemail.
Oh, you're going to give a fishy to a voicemail?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As long as Fishback's okay with that.
This is a huge segment.
Yeah.
All right. So Otis is going to give a fishy out to the voicemail of the week. All right. So here we go. Let's start off with Jeff Spence. He's got a good question about Philip versus Corinne.
Hi, Rob and Nicole. This is Jeff Spence. Given that in tonight's episode, both Philip and Corinne each said they need to keep the other one as a necessary evil until the earliest possible moment where they can eliminate the other one, who do you think is going to go first? I think Philip's shelf life expires the minute they don't need him for numbers. What do you guys think? Thanks.
All right, I think this is an interesting question of who lasts longer in the game, Philip or Corinne?
I'm going to agree with Jeff.
Yeah.
I think Corinne goes deeper into the game than Philip.
See, I think what it's going to come down to is the power couple of Dawn and Cochran. And
yeah.
I think it's whatever they decide, they're going to be the ones that decide who they are tighter with. And I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to be, you know, they're also tight with Andrea, and Andrea's tight with Philip. And I think that we already know Andrea wants to get rid of Corinne. Philip wants to get rid of Corinne. I think there's more people talking about getting rid of Corinne than there are people talking about getting rid of Philip, which is only Corinne.
So you think it's going to be Corinne?
I think Corinne will go out of the game before Philip.
I think that I agree with your initial statement that it's up to Cochran and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Cochran votes largely on logic, and Philip behaves irrationally at times.
Illogical. Are you backing this up with any with any facts?
Cochran's I feel like a very logical player. I think that's his MO as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like even the reason he got a fishy this last episode was because he was able to identify the Matt and Mike alliance.
Okay.
And break that up. So I think Cochran's going to see that Philip is largely a question mark, and he's going to not want that. And Dawn
question
is,
mark.
Dawn gets emotional about things, and Phillip's choosing to bring Julie into the fold wasn't necessarily something that made Dawn feel comfortable. So I think Phillip's put a target on his back. Corinne hasn't done anything to make Cochran or Dawn necessarily want her out yet.
All right, want another Philip question?
Sure.
All right, here we go. This is Ori Kohav.
Because we don't get enough Philip already.
Yeah, we don't get to hear enough about Philip. Ori Kohav, he wants to talk about the specialist as well.
Yo, Robin Nicole, it's Ori Kohav. It was talked a lot about how Philip is playing a Boston Rob game, but the thing is, Boston Rob only won on his fourth attempt in a cast of dummies.
Oh.
Which is one of the reasons I think Philip is not going to win this season. But I thought about a pretty interesting scenario. What if Philip played Survivor for a fourth time in a cast of dummies against, let's say, Francesco.
Francesco. All right. Is that a fishy worthy voicemail?
Who is Ori?
Ori Kohav.
Yeah, who is Ori though?
I don't know.
This is a stealth RS question.
Yeah.
That voice was great.
Yeah, he's good. Ori leaves us a lot of voicemails. So how about now will it take Philip four times to win the game? Like Boston Rob?
I don't think Philip can win this game.
You don't think he can win this game?
I don't think he can win this game.
Is Philip playing only? Is this only the Boston Rob on Survivor All Stars version?
No, it's nothing like that.
Now, Philip, in fairness to Philip, got further in his first time through. That
Philip, Boston Rob did.
Yeah, Philip, the first time through, he got 39 days, whereas Boston Rob went what, like 21 days?
Yeah, no, I think Philip's. I don't get me wrong. I actually like Philip.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he has what it takes to win the game.
Now, Philip also learned at the knee. Now, Boston Rob had to learn everything on his own. Boston Rob had no teacher.
Right.
Philip learned at the knee of Boston Rob. And not Boston Rob on his first time. Boston Rob on his fourth time. So shouldn't that accelerate Philip further?
Yeah, but here's the thing about Philip's game.
Philip's second time, almost like Boston Rob's third time.
But here's the thing about Philip's game, and he's demonstrating it so far this season, is that in order to win in the finale, you have to be somewhat humble.
Mm-hmm.
And people, in my experience, I feel like the finale is more voting for the lesser of two evils than like who they really want to win. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to vote for the winner. So I feel like his presence in a finale isn't going to get him a... His arrogance in a finale isn't going to get him the votes.
I think if you give Philip four times, I think he eventually
really?
Wins.
Then let's see that. I would watch that.
Because
that's when I want my vasectomy.
When Philip is on the fourth time. But I really feel like, and the reason why Boston Rob is so good is that Survivor, just
the
quantum leap between the people who played the game twice and the people who played the game once was huge. And now you have somebody like Boston Rob who has like with 100 days of Survivor experience. And Philip now on, what is it, day, whatever. He, I mean, he's going into his...
Yeah, he's played a lot of Survivor.
You know, 39 plus 15. So what are we, like his 54th day of Survivor experience or whatever. You know, at... It does. You start to learn the game more and more about the game as you get more experienced. And I think that, you know, you give him four shots at this. I think, you know.
Yeah, you're going to expect
he could win this season.
I don't know. I hope he does. I like Philip. Like I said, I like Philip. I just don't. Look, I just don't.
We live
see
in a
him.
World where if Rachel Riley could win a Big Brother season, anybody can win anything.
Fair enough. I mean, who would Philip have to be in the finals with to win?
You know, it's hard to say right now.
Yeah, like who do you see him beating?
I mean, could it be with the? I don't know. I think I was gonna say the fans, but then I think in that scenario, like he screwed over the favorites,
right? I just don't see him.
Let's say if it was sort of like a Boston Rob situation, where you had like a Natalie Tenorelli or somebody who just did people who did nothing,
right? So like let's say Julia made it all the way to
the end. Let's say he's there with Julia and somebody else who was just like
and Eric. You,
well, Eric
might get the Fabio win.
He's likable enough, but you have people who were just useless there with him at the end,
right? And to be fair to Julian and Eric,
who knows?
We don't know if they're useless. Yeah. We just haven't seen a lot of them this season.
So I think if Philip was on a season with all dummies and Francesca and it was his fourth time, I think he would have a good chance to win.
All dummies and Francesca, he has a good shot.
I think so.
But the bigger question is what happens to Francesca?
She goes out first again. All the dummies listen to Philip and they vote out Francesca again. Yeah,
fair enough.
And they're very starstruck by Philip on his fourth time on the show.
At by that point, he's become a legend.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question from Joe.
So my major thing is, which one of the five remaining fans will be able to kind of use one of those pairs and kind of make it a three-person alliance and really get themselves in the final three? Personally, I think it might be Mike with Corinne and Malcolm. But who knows? Malcolm seems to be playing a little differently. Major question is, which fan has the best chance of going really deep in the game? Thanks.
All right, so which one of the fans has the best chance to go deep in the game, Otis?
I like what our boy from Rhode Island suggested about Mike embedding himself mm-hmm. with Corinne and Malcolm. Mm-hmm. That there's a lot of questions, though, because Malcolm's obviously on the other tribe right now. While that there's a good possibility that might happen, I wouldn't bet my money on that. Yeah. I'd probably
lock in your pick.
I would be more likely to say that Sherry will bring in Eric and Brenda.
Okay, Otis is gonna lock in Sherry. I'm gonna go Julia.
Ooh.
If she can get through Thursday,
if she can race through Thursday,
put her in Stealth R Us and put her in the final five.
Or Wednesday now.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
The day doesn't matter. I'm watching anyways.
Everybody knew what I meant. Okay, let's take this next question. This is a question about Survivor and social media. Okay, and this comes to us from Hakan. Here we go.
Hi, Rob. This is Hakan, your follower from Turkey, where every day is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, see what you did?
I have this theory, you know, especially last season when I'm not that active on Twitter, but I follow Facebook closely, and I have the survivors on my Facebook, and what I saw is that some people were quite active. For example, Mike Scoopin, although he wasn't sharing details, of course, about the show, he was every day posting a message, so he was somebody that got to the end and probably thought he was winning. And this season, I see certain individuals more active than others. So my question is, do you think Facebook activity relates to how people did well in the game? Thank you for your answer.
No.
Okay.
A strong no. I do not think
that. Hold on. But before we answer this, I'm just going to say we are going to give our thoughts on whether how people did in the game affects how they act in social media. So if you don't want to hear this conversation, skip ahead, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in the podcast. And so you can say, you know, spoiler free, but we're going to speculate on Survivor's behavior and performance in the game.
I
got a lot of heat last season that I said, oh boy, hey, Kat followed me on Twitter today, and it was the Survivor day, and sure enough, that was the episode she got voted out.
Oh, wow. Well, I think things like that.
Like, oh, once you said, then now I knew.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's interesting that he brought up Scoopin.
Yes.
Because Scoopin did, he was pretty active.
He was like he drank a 2-liter bottle of soda before he got on Twitter every day.
But he, and I also agree that he probably thought he was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's speculation about that. Now, I've never actually spoken to Scoopin, so
I think that's pretty on the record, yeah, that he thought he was going to win.
Yeah. So, so with Scoopin, I think that's kind of like a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, if you think you're going to win, you don't tweet anything. You don't Facebook anything.
The rule has been in the, you know, 3+ years of doing the podcast, it tends to be the people who are out early are active early.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like if you have a lot to say on social media, it's sort of like, I better get it all out now because I'm not going to be on the show
for long.
Ones
that you might think.
I feel it's the opposite. Scoopin,
yeah, exactly.
I think Scoopin is the red herring, as you said, the fly in the ointment that normally, typically, the people who don't tweet that much tend to go far in the game. Scoopin was, you know,
I didn't do anything on MySpace.
Yeah, you didn't update your MySpace status.
Didn't. I actually deleted my MySpace.
You deleted the MySpace.
My MySpace about me. No, I kept the profile. I just deleted the about me because it was getting ridiculed on Survivor Sucks for too long.
Oh, okay. And you read it?
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Now there's like a 57-page thread about me being the gay pretentious yoga instructor. Or I guess now, the gays.
Yeah, if Corinne was on your tribe, would she have made an alliance with you?
She probably would have. Funny enough, you know, the way I got cast, I was supposed to be the gay guy.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was no gay guy on our season.
Oh, man.
I was filling that role. The guy who didn't get cast, who was their favorite for my position, The story is that they found out that he had performed.
Was straight?
No, he had performed in a...
oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a, yeah, yeah. Okay. Good talk.
Okay. So, yeah, we tend to think, and I can't think of any specific examples, but, you know, in the last couple of years, the people that, you know, tweeted were, you know, big on the tweeting and big on the retweeting tend to, you know, only go so far in the game. The Matt Quinlans of the world, the Michaelas, even our own Miss Survivor, RC. She was I remember Cochran once, he really zinged her and said, RC, your name should be RT. so we'll see.
He's like a panther, just lying in wait.
He has some good zingers.
He does.
All right. And I told people that you were going to be here for the podcast. This is actually a question for you, Otis.
Awesome.
Okay.
Finally.
All right. Get that fishy ready. Here
okay.
we go.
This one probably getting a fishy.
Hey, Rob and Aris, what's going on? I just wanted to say, Rob, I love the podcast, and Aris, I really enjoy your music, and
fishy.
I was wondering, I don't know if you do this for your fans, but I had a request, and I'm hoping that maybe Otto's music might be able to cover one of my favorite songs by another Survivor. Can you cover Tidy Whitey's for me? Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, so we have a question. One of our listeners wants to know if you will perform, if you, Otis Music, could perform a cover of one of his favorite songs, Tidy Whiteys.
I've never heard this song.
Okay.
Can you cue it up for me?
I think I may have it queued up. You've never heard Tidy Whiteys?
No, who performs it?
Oh, this is by Lisi Linares from Survivor Fiji.
Oh, wow.
Tidy Whiteys. All right, do we have that?
Tidy Whiteys. Tidy Whiteys, little boy. Tidy Whiteys. Tidy Whitey's little boy, Tidy Whitey.
Yeah, you've never seen the video?
Never. This is amazing.
Yeah. Now, this is a family podcast. I can't play the whole song.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Was she serious?
Yeah. Yeah, you is that what Otis Music, would you guys be willing to cover Tidy Whitey's acoustic?
We'd be willing to consider that. Well, I make no promises during the podcast.
Yes. Okay. Well, that would be huge. That would be huge if you could. And if you've never seen the video for, I'll show the whole thing to Otis after the podcast is over. You can always go to robinswebsite.com/Lisi to see the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I can play another snippet that's safe for family friendly. I don't know if it's family friendly.
I'm amazed by this.
Yeah, okay, here's the...
How did I never know about this? Well, you know what my favorite Survivor song is?
What's that?
Is Alicia's song.
Oh.
Free.
Yeah.
Free. I would be more willing to cover
Free. Here's a little more of Tidy Whitey's.
Stuff you used and abused. Step right up, I'll show you. If you used and abused. Step right up, I'll show you what's up.
Could you now I have to say I liked your video that you made, but Lisey's video is still better.
It's way better.
Her video is way better.
I can't argue with that.
Could you get the director of Lisey's video?
Can you scroll down and tell me who directed that bad boy?
Yes.
We might need to be in contact.
I think Lisey may have directed it herself.
Well, then it looks
also
like Lisey's
from Survivor.
Gonna...
Now, is she in the picture that Earl is giving away on Kickstarter?
There's a fishy. Guess who just won a fishy?
Yeah,
you did. Rob.
Now I believe.
Please play the fishy song. You just got yourself a fishy.
I got the fishy.
Yeah.
Hey, fish, fish, neck, kite, neck, kite, fish, neck, kite, neck, kite, fish, neck, kite, fishy, fishy.
Now you have no authority, for the record, to give away a fishy.
I don't, but I'm doing it.
Now this could
I'm doing it, man.
This could tie up Earl in copyright court for quite some time, because I believe Lisey is also selling something called the Smushbox. I believe that Earl could have a legal battle.
This is a family
on his
show.
Hands.
This is a family show, Rob. Let's not go into that.
Yeah, it's possible. You could.
Being bad, hell I've been had. Stop you used and abused.
Oh my God.
Step right up. I'll
that
show
is, step
you.
Right up.
That is a smush box. That is a smush box.
All right. So you will consider a cover.
I will consider a cover.
If there's enough demand of an acoustic version
Now, how long is that song?
Oh, it's only two minutes and 4 seconds.
Oh, wow. So I couldn't even shorten it.
Yeah.
I have to just do the whole
thing. Okay. Now, I told you that we told people that you were going to be on the podcast here. And now we have another voicemail. This is from somebody who claims they knew you from when they were growing up.
Go on.
Okay. All right. So again, I have no information about the veracity of this, of the claims that this person is about to make. Okay?
It's probably true.
All right, here we go. This is from somebody who says they knew you from childhood.
Hey Rob, I know you're having Otis on the show, and when I was a kid I lived across the street from him, and my friends and I became friends with his older brother, and we were way younger than Otis. But anyway, one day they invited us into the back house to watch a Laker game, and my friends thought it'd be funny if they sprayed fart spray in Aris's house. They did. They thought it was funny for a while, but then they thought we set up bomb off in their place. But that wasn't the case. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Like, I was the one who sprayed the fart spray, but I knew about it. I'm sorry about that.
All right, now.
All right, later.
Honestly, is this an actual event? Did somebody spray fart spray in your house?
You have no idea how emotional this is for me. The closure that I'm able to have with this. I have no idea what this guy.
This never happened. Nobody ever sprayed fart spray.
I didn't know there was fart spray.
Okay, now you do have a brother, though.
I do have a brother.
Did you have people that you invited over to watch a Lakers game?
Maybe. The back house, that makes sense. I mean, this is probably all true. Do we have a name on this?
I don't have a name.
That's unfortunate.
I can get you this guy's phone number
if you want to contact him. And I'll cross-reference
it. So he claims that they, I just want to get the details straight, that they sprayed, he was the guy that sprayed fart spray in your house, and they thought there was a bomb threat, and did the fire department come?
No, there was never, that never happened. That never happened. We never.
Now, is it possible you blocked this out?
Like I said, this is a very, very emotional moment. No,
apologized.
I appreciate the apology. Yeah,
Could it have been? Was it another Adas? Maybe
with another Vetus. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Well, now, do you want to give a fishy to one of the voicemails, or
you got the fishy?
Rob. Okay. All right.
You got the fishy and. There's that.
Are you concerned that somebody will come to your house with fart spray now?
A little more concerned. We don't typically lock our doors, but maybe we will now.
Is it possible that fart spray could could be. I mean, it's a pre 9/11 world we were talking about.
That's true. Then did you know there was such a thing as fart spray?
No.
Maybe we should do a Kickstarter and get the word out about this.
Yeah, far new fart spray Kickstarter.
Tidy whities, little boy.
No. There's just so many concentric circles.
Good
happening.
Way to ruin your tidy whities, the fart spray.
That's
also
true. That's true.
All right, so let's get into Jessica Frey and the interns of Robin's podcast put this together. You want to hear what some of the survivors were saying on social media? Now, again, if it's really the survivors who are what they're not saying on social media.
Yes,
that's the ones we need to be watching out for. If history had been, but you know, with All Stars, they already have a Twitter following, so who knows?
It's true.
We don't know what. By the, you know, the last time we had a lot of All Stars on, Boston Rob joined Twitter during the season he won, so. We have that to go off of.
That's interesting.
During Heroes versus Villains, I think only maybe Tyson and Sugar might have been the only survivors tweeting during that season. So
I just found out about Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
It's amazing.
Yeah. All right, Twitter comments. Here we go. This is from, let's see. This is a good one. This is something that happened earlier today. Okay, so you know Dawn. Dawn from Survivor at Meehand. So she is, you know, pure and innocent. She's a very nice person. And so she complimented Steven on his blog today. And she said it was spot on. Steven totally got it right. So Dawn supported the awarding of the fishy to Cochran.
If you're not doing the robot fishy, when this goes on, you're not living right.
Would you ever eat a fishy McBite?
No.
Yeah.
No. Never. Where do you get those things?
McDonald's.
Yeah, no.
Loving it.
McDonald's is not my place.
All right. So Dawn wrote to Steven spot on with the People magazine article this week. So Survivor Shannon wrote back to Dawn, to Steven, to People magazine, and he says, Philip needs a damn clue. He says he's the joke of Survivor. I'd love to teabag him.
Wait, who is this?
Do you know of the Survivor Shannon?
No, who's Survivor Shannon?
Survivor, two show Shannon?
No.
Yeah, Survivor Shannon, he was the second person kicked off of Survivor Nicaragua, and he is a famous Survivor tweeter.
I don't recall Shannon.
He might have been the guy that put the fart spray at the house.
It's all coming together.
It seems like something he would do. So he tweeted. He was the guy, and he was. We don't have to get into his whole story, but he tweeted. Yes, he's the joke of Survivor. I'd love to teabag him. So Dawn responded, Shannon, you're cracking me up. What the crap is teabagging someone?
The things you learn on Twitter.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please.
So did he go on and explain that to her?
I don't know. But a lot of people said, please, we need to save Dawn.
Save Dawn.
Nobody tell Dawn what teabagging
Kickstarter.
Is.
Kickstarter. Save Dawn.
Please. Please. Dawn doesn't... We don't need Dawn to know. Yes. It means having a tea party with the other survivors.
Right. We'll it's a political term, obviously.
It's a political term. Colton comes over and you bash, and Mark Burnett tells you what Satan looks like, and that's it. That's the tea bag.
And then you watch a couple episodes of the Bible. No big deal.
That's it. Yeah, even Malcolm said, a new game. Everybody send at Meehan terms to look up on urbandictionary.com. I hope there's no bread euphemisms.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good.
hope there's not. Okay, let's see. How about this? Rupert got into the Survivor tweeting.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Did he win this election?
No, he did not.
Oh,
he did not.
Unfortunate.
Rupert, he was sad to see Matt go home. He said, he had strength and loyalty and a killer beard. What were you thinking?
Well, that's telling. Apparently, those are the things that you need on Survivor.
Yeah. This is from Cochran. He tweeted, what's a guy got to do to get nominated for a Sprint Player of the Week? P.S. I can predict all your insulting jokes to this response.
That's great. I love Cochran.
Yeah. Cochran's good on Twitter. He lays in the weeds.
Yeah,
the
no,
puma.
He's good. He's waiting. He's waiting for you.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, this is a late breaking tweet from earlier tonight. This is so Corinne tweeted at Matt Bischoff. She watched the show with Nick Lachey, and he was not happy. He sent a Cincy boy home.
Okay. She actually watched it with
Corinne.
Nick Lachey?
Was watching the show with Nick Lachey.
Nick, you know, Corinne kind of hobnobs.
Yeah,
she hangs out with some influencers.
She does. She does.
She's good friends with Richard Jefferson, the NBA basketball player.
Yeah,
and now she's friends with Nick Lachey.
Next
thing you know, she's going to be friends with.
Yeah, lots of Corinne has a lot of famous friends.
She does. That's amazing. Do you think that happened before or after she went on Survivor?
Interesting. I believe it was before.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how that happened.
I think that Corinne used to work in the club promoting. Yeah.
Got it.
I think she's probably in like nightlife.
I
like
could see Corinne being a good promoter.
Yeah, definitely. So now we have a tweet to Corinne from Eliza. Now, we've been covering Eliza a lot. Eliza has had a lot to say during this season.
I would imagine so. When does she ever not have a lot to say?
She had a lot to say. So she tweeted to Corinne. And actually, Corinne's tweet was from last night. This is the tweet that was from tonight. Eliza tweeted, "I'm so glad they finally showed you on this episode. You, period, are, period, my, period, hero, period, hashtag, I love you, hate Philip." Hate's a strong word.
Whoa, love and hate.
Yeah.
In the same tweet. I didn't know you could fit that in.
Hate's a strong word.
And then Corinne responded to that.
Oh, she did? Oh.
I think she did, because I think I follow.
Oh, what did Corinne say? I don't have that on my...
I think she said something to the effect of, like, I didn't finally just start. It's not like I've been doing this the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
Something to that effect, I think.
Corinne's good on Twitter.
Twitter's great when these conversations happen. I haven't really figured out how to use Twitter in a way that I find it engaging.
And for those of you guys, who are trying to figure out who's going to last longer in the game, Corinne or Philip, and are looking at Twitter, good luck with that one.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck with that one, because they're both.
What has Philip tweeted?
Oh, Philip tweets a lot.
I actually followed Philip as well, and I saw that he tweeted something about his book, and then somebody responded saying, "I'm going to delete you and report you for spamming."
Was it Russell Hantz?
I don't know.
Russell Hantz and Philip got into. I don't have it here. Russell Hantz and Philip got into a huge World War III on Twitter.
Paraphrase.
That Philip was tweeting about how Survivor had gotten very good ratings last week, which it did. I think it got it season high. And Russell had tweeted, "Yeah, because Brandon Hantz." And Philip said, basically, and again, I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Telephone game, indeed. So, but Philip said basically, "Well, there's actually a lot of talented people that work on Survivor." And Russell Hantz said, "Yeah, it's they're called Hantzes." Basically, that's not exactly what Russell said. I think that might have been wittier than what Russell actually said. But so they got into a huge fight, and then Russell actually said the other night, he said, "That's it," and he got mad at Philip and said, "I want if you prove to me that Philip has blocked you on Twitter, I'll follow you." And it was like Russell's like incentivizing people to harass Philip.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a cold-blooded.
Yes.
Do you think Russell's doing this to get back on Survivor?
I don't see how antagonizing Philip on Twitter is a path back to Survivor.
Here's how it could be a path back to Survivor. It gives the producers another angle at... All right, now it's Hantz.
So now we're lobbying for a Philip versus Russell season.
Well, because Brandon and Philip got into it so bad, but Brandon couldn't do
it. Would that be a good season? Philip versus Russell season?
I don't want to see, and to be frank, I don't want to see any more Russell. I don't want to see any more Philip. I want to get back to the basics. I want to get back to strategy. I want to get back to like good.
See, I texted Russell last week. I would like to see at WrestleMania. I want to get the match set up of Brandon and Russell tag team against Philip and Boston Rob. No, Philip and Boston Rob. I think this is a really good, if not WrestleMania, then SummerSlam.
That would be really good.
I think this would be a really good match. I'm the special referee.
Of course.
I need to get in there.
If you're going to do beauty pageants, you get to do wrestling matches,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I get to be the referee. Or am I the sideline? Or am I with, like, JR?
No, no, you're the ref. You're definitely the ref.
Good God, that's Phillip's music. Brandon's gone into the Hants zone.
And the Hants just snatched the microphone from you.
He's peeing in the rice. Good God.
He's peeing on the wrestling mat.
So, yeah.
No, I that'd be great. I think you should do it. You should call up the right people and make it happen. You live in LA. You can
so
do this.
The name of Brandon and Russell's tag team, they're the Hants Foundation.
Uh-huh.
They're the Hants Foundation. They also have Willie Hants and Sean Hants down at ringside.
Right.
The tag team of Boston Rob and Phillip, is it Stealth R Us? Is that too easy?
Stealth Odd Us.
Stealth Odd Us?
Get with it. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got to go Stealth R Us.
Yeah. Who wins the match?
Well,
again, wrestling's fake. Okay.
It's a fixed fake thing, but if it's it was fake real, I feel like Phillip would probably be the dominant physical threat out there.
Yeah.
Nothing against the Hanses, but they're more compact.
Yeah. I think then if I'm the Vince McMahon of Survivor Wrestling.
No, here's what happens. This is my idea. Can I tell you my idea before
sure
you go? Because yours is premeditated. This is just off the cuff. First Boston Rob and Russell go at it. They tag out and it goes Phillip Brandon. And Phillip gets the best of Brandon and manages to tag in Boston Rob, so they're dominating on Brandon. Somehow Brandon like wiggles out, tags in Russell, and Phillip goes, or sorry, and Boston Rob gets off as well. So it's now just Russell and Phillip, and Phillip's putting a wallop on Russell. At the same time, Boston Rob and Brandon are off the mat and they've got each other in a lock.
Yeah.
So like neither one can move, and Phillip's wailing on Russell, and Francesca comes down out of nowhere with a chair and breaks it over Phillip's
head. I had the same scenario, but then I had it was Grant Matos, and he joins the Hants Foundation.
Oh, wow.
Good God, that's Grant Matos!
Is Grant wearing a football jersey?
Yes. Yes.
Is he the quarterback?
He's what? One of the Hantses! He's Grant Hants! Grant Hants!
The tall one.
6'8", all of Grand Matt's house. He's a Hants through and through.
Is anyone still listening? No.
Some people tuned out like an hour ago. That's all right. I bought. I upgraded my podcast hosting on Libsyn. I have a monthly. I
can make a
300 megabyte podcast. It'll break your iPhone. all right. Let's see. Anything else? We have some comments from here. People were a lot of great feedback on the 500th episode of Rob's podcast.
Yeah, it's seriously, man. That's an amazing accomplishment.
I got a really great a lot of great feedback from people. And really appreciated that. Chris Nelson said on our Facebook fan page, word is Alex Trebek is stepping down from host of Jeopardy in 2016. Future job prospect for you, Rob? Well, actually, you know, I did host Survivor Jeopardy.
I watched that.
Yes.
Colton came away the winner.
We had some bugs. This is the Survivor Jeopardy I'd like to Survivor Jeopardy Redux. We were going to do one in January. We couldn't really... I had a very hard time. You don't want to throw your Tundra hat in the ring, right?
I would put my hat in the ring, but it would have to be against a similar kind of handicapped player.
This is the ultimate game that I want to set up. Okay, it's Colton versus Cochran versus Ian Terry. That's the three I want to set up.
I don't know what's holding you
summer,
back.
Summer 2K13.
I feel like you can do that. But, well, you know, I the one thing that you did wrong is you got the best first, which you kind of want to do, but you... Then you make it hard for anyone to challenge.
Yeah, well, I think that we were going to bring Cochran and Ian Terry into the mix.
Yeah, but if you'd have started with like Brooke Garrity and although Brooke is a fan.
Yeah. What is this, like the kids tournament week?
Yeah, you want to start with the people that aren't going to perform as well, and then you build up to a champion. It's, you know. By the way, here's the other
Survivor
thing.
Survivor Jeopardy first boot.
How
week?
Many times am I going to hear that it's about Survivor 101 this season? Is that a class somewhere that I didn't know about? Because I feel like that's been referenced about 18 times this season.
Well, who's saying Survivor 101?
Well, at first it was referenced when...
Are they talking about the freeway or...
When Ronald brought yes. his idol to Tribal.
Yes.
And then... Mike said, that's Survivor 101.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got brought up last night as well, didn't it?
Sounds about right.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds
I didn't realize that was like a parlance of our time.
Yeah, that stuff that sort of just goes over my head. I just don't know.
I like those details a lot more. I don't know what's happened to my viewing experience, but I'm always looking for these strange patterns. I don't know.
Yes.
It's late.
It is late. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. We had a inappropriate comment, sort of. I mean, Jeff Probst is really given up on the inappropriate. I think maybe the talk show is family friendly. He doesn't want to do any more inappropriate comments.
Why? As opposed to before when he would say things that were inappropriate?
Yeah, we had a lot of inappropriate comments. Feel like we haven't had any this season. Out of context, inappropriate
right.
comments.
Right. Yeah, no. Jeff's done a good job.
Yeah. I'm not even going to read this one.
What was it? Let's hear it. Now you got us. Now you have to.
Inappropriate comment. Philip and Julia really slowing down towards the end. You know, it's a stretch. That was a stretch.
That was probably funnier.
That was a stretch. You liked it?
No, I liked your comment afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought that was the pun.
Yeah. It's a letdown. All right. Yeah, I think that is. What else do we have to say? It's a 42-minute show, and we got like two and a half hour podcast.
Yeah, this is great. It was great having Ethan on.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to come Sunday.
No, I am actually going to be at. This is the second year in a row that I am actually emceeing the Miss California U.S. International Beauty Pageant. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So
I go from see what Miss Survivor has led to.
That's amazing.
And for the second year in a row, I am emceeing a beauty pageant. I'm going to be there all weekend.
Will you be joined by Miss Survivor?
No, RC will not be there. And she's not eligible as she's not a California resident.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about Miss Survivor while we're here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're here.
I mean,
so.
Yeah, we're 2.5 hours from the podcast.
Now, I follow this from afar, but I was thoroughly entertained by what happened during the Miss Survivor this year.
Where you were.
You had a write-in candidate.
We did. We had somebody tried to get in at the last minute.
Now, that seems like a very American process, right? Like that's what happens in elections, is you have write-in candidates.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it was a little... if what I had said was if everybody agreed to do it, I would allow it. But I did feel like there was no talk of a write-in candidate before.
Right.
It would have been fun to see that firecracker Abby Maria
right.
in the debates.
What are you going to do next season? Are you gonna leave that open? Are you gonna leave the possibility of a write-in if they can generate enough steam?
I think so. I think if there's enough support, if they can produce 500 signatures.
Okay, that's a good rule.
I think that's a good rule. That's more than just a couple of wahoos.
And I was actually in Tulum during the big debates. And by the big debates, I mean the Miss Survivor debates.
Now, what is Tulum?
Tulum is a town in Mexico.
Okay.
It's just south of Cancun. It's a beach town.
Whoa.
But anyways, I was in Tulum and we listened on the iPad to the debates.
Yes.
And I have to say,
you were scoring the debates at home.
Yeah. I was shocked by the results after.
Really?
Yeah. I thought Chelsea was dominant.
You thought Chelsea won the debate?
I thought Chelsea won the debate.
Yeah.
I thought Spradlin was a close second, and I thought RC was languishing in the back.
Are you here to state your desire for a Miss Survivor recall vote?
No, not at all. The results are the results.
Are you coming to my house and are challenging the legitimacy of our Miss Survivor?
No, but what I wanted to bring up was it seemed like RC wanted to have a Mr. Survivor.
Oh.
And because I know I'm so far out of the running for that.
You would like a Mr. Survivor.
I would, not for my own sake, because obviously that's not my cup of tea. But I would love to see Hance go up against Boston Rob and go up against Philip.
Oh, an all-time Mr. Survivor.
Yeah, I mean.
Interesting.
That could be fantastic.
Interesting. That could be pretty interesting. If we opened it up all-time. But here's the, you know, this is what we want, and I just have a feeling that here's me calling Boston Rob to tell him that he's in the top five of the Mr. Survivor beauty pageant. It's like, all right, bring, bring. Hey, Sister Nino, what's happening? Hey, Rob, what's going on? It's the Rob that sucks. Yeah, hey, what's up, man? So I know you're busy. I know you have stuff going on. You have three kids, but I am running a male beauty pageant on my website of the all-time. We're trying to find Mr. Survivor. It's a male beauty pageant. Are you interested in me interviewing you for the title of Mr. Survivor beauty pageant? If you ever call me again and talk about a male beauty pageant, smarten up, Sestanino. Click.
All right, so maybe you don't get Boston Rob in it.
He's not in it.
So maybe you got to keep it relatively current.
Yeah.
And here's my other question. What has RC done as Miss Survivor? Has she?
She has had many accomplishments. Yeah.
No. I mean, like, since she got voted in, what does she do for you guys?
She's working on her goal was Survivor peace.
What?
And this has been the most calm and civil period in Survivor history.
Now, I kind of personally, when I heard that, I thought it was genius because I thought it was that the podcast was going to be a place for grievances to be aired and things to be worked out. That's what I thought she meant.
Oh, see, I think she's brokering these peace treaties behind the scenes.
Oh, well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
All right. So maybe we need to have RC work on bringing us some people that are fighting.
As a fan of the podcast and a fan of the show, I would love it.
I feel like you need a feud.
I had one.
Who do you have one with?
With Terry.
Oh, but get Terry on Twitter.
We resolved it on the show, fortunately.
Oh.
I don't need a feud. Who'd you feud with? Daniel Liu.
No, I didn't feud with Daniel Liu. I mean, I've had some feuds over the
post-Survivor.
Post-Survivor? You know, a lot of the feuds tend to be one-sided where people dislike me. That happens a lot.
Now, have you, during the Miss Survivor campaign, did you get was there any contestants from that campaign who might have been unhappy with you?
No. Everybody is always very civil. During Miss Survivor, everybody treats Miss Survivor with the honor and respect it deserves. You feel like, are you planning on starting a Miss Tundra hat competition? You seem like very interested in this.
Nah. No, I'm not.
Miss Tundra hat.
That would be amazing. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. But who would we want as our queen?
I don't know.
Who to represent the Tundra hat?
Does it have to be a Survivor?
Wait, no.
Don't infringe on Miss Survivor
with
Miss Tundra hat.
I'm going to leave Rob's...
How about Mr. Tundra hat?
Now you're talking.
Hey, Otis.
Yeah. Renald.
Renald would be a good Mr. Tundra hat.
He would. He would, those eyes.
Could hide the idol in the Tundra hat?
Now you're getting me thinking in that little pocket up top.
Yeah. A Tundra hat would actually be the perfect thing to hide immunity idols
in. It's true. It's very true.
Yeah. I've got mine up there.
Yeah, there it is. Your Jets pin.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you at home who are still listening,
yes.
The all two of you, Rob's studio is chock full of Mets and Jets gear.
Yes.
You have anything to say about those two teams, Rob?
Well, I think it's going to be a long 2013.
Yeah.
Longer than this podcast, even.
If that's possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's not do antique roadshow of my office. All right. So, Otis, you want to tell anybody if you want a Tundra hat?
If you want a Tundra hat, go to robhasatundrahat.com.
Robhasatundrahat.com and use the coupon code RobHasACoupon.
That's right, and you get a discount.
Because you know what? It's still freaking cold in the East Coast.
It is. It's still freaking... You know, we had actually, surprisingly enough, we had our best March ever.
Whoa.
And it's not even done.
Is it March Madness? Is it like teams in the tourney?
No. It's mostly NFL teams still, but it's just...
Free agency.
That's what it is. All the Daryl Revis fans are stoked.
Yeah, they're going to get Tampa Bay Bucks hats.
Exactly.
And all right, so and then follow at Oddus Music.
That's right. That's my Twitter.
And check out Oddus's latest video if you go to robhaswebsite.com/ARAS.
Boom.
I wrote it the other way on my paper. That's why I had to. But I remember I spelled it out. It's been a long night. It's been a long knockdown drag out.
Yeah. Podcast.
You want to hear the worst thing of all?
Let's hear it.
I still have to write a blog about Big Brother Canada tonight after this.
rough one for you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stay up all night.
Well, I have to get back over the hill.
You got to sell hats in the morning.
That's right, I do. I actually have a big shipment to prepare tomorrow.
Okay, all right. So we wasted too much time. We didn't handle our podcasting time effectively.
This was great. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
Rob.
Ethan's been asleep for he's lights out.
Well, he's probably a little bummed that he lost the Gibson Hands contest.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure he'll take it out on me on the soccer
Friday
field.
Night, we're going to talk with Anil. I was going to say the latest player voted off of Big Brother, but there's actually been two players voted off of Big Brother tonight since then. So a double eviction on Big Brother Canada. Very wild episode on the Big Brother Canada, and I'm going to write about that after we get done with Oddus. Thank you guys so much, and especially you guys who are going to robhaswebsite.com/Amazon. To do your Amazon.com shopping, which is your number one source for everything except Tundra hats, because they don't have them.
They don't have them there.
They don't have them.
They don't want them.
Impossible.
Can't figure it out.
All right. So we did so much tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you to Oddus, who was a great guest here in the studio. Thank you to Ethan Zahn. Check out LAFest.net for information on the big shindig this weekend. And then for everything else, thanks to Taylor Cotter for her help with our game tonight, Brandon Hance or Mel Gibson. And I have nothing else for you.
I just as a reminder, give me those 3-star reviews.
Yes.
You can remember.
Rate Oddus's video and have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.